Podcast.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth, and I am here on location in beautiful Bloomfield, New Jersey, on a rainy Saturday afternoon. I am here with my good friends, J.O. Covan and Jeff Cerulli. How's it going, guys?
Well, I'm excited. This is my first time in Bloomfield ever. Is it too loud now?
You can just talk.
This is my first time in Bloomfield in my life. So, no, I don't know if that's true. Is this where Mike Myers is from?
Like Mike Myers is from
Canada. Is that
Canada.
Haddonfield? No,
you mean Halloween?
Halloween, yeah, yeah. Mike Myers?
I don't know.
No, it's Haddonfield in Indiana. But it's good to be here.
It's very gloomy here. I thought I'd let Jeff speak first as the host, but that seemed to be a poor decision on my part.
It was a disaster. I peaked the volumes.
Bombed already.
But it is raining hard here. This is like indie thriller type rain.
It's great for a top 10 list of movies from last year. It really sets
here,
the tone.
We had a great time last year talking about our favorite films of 2018. And Jeff decided that we were going to do it again. So
Jeff's number one movie, by the way, was Dark Waters with Mark Ruffalo. his Hollywood doppelganger.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
That's what I get.
So in this episode, we're going to talk our top 10 films of 2019. We're going to probably do some honorable mentions after. And then we'll get into our picks for the Oscars in the major category. So since we are in JL's lovely palatial apartment, let's start with JL. Give us your bottom 10. Your five. Get us 10 through 5.
My runners up for top 5 movies.
Sure, okay. Sure.
10. And I'm pandering to Chris with this one, but I also believe in it. Queen and Slim. It was between Queen and Slim and Ford and Ferrari for the coveted 10th spot. And I did like Ford and Ferrari a lot, but I kept it off because I feel like I owed it to Rush, the Ron Howard movie from a few years ago.
A better movie.
Which didn't get the box office or the Best Picture acclaim that Ford and Ferrari did, Ford versus Ferrari. But Rush, I thought, was even though I like Ford and Ferrari, Rush, I thought, was just an outstanding movie, and it reminded me a lot of this, and I just thought it was a little better. So I said tiebreaker.
You thought Ford and Ferrari was better than Rush?
No, I thought Rush was much better.
Okay, I was about to say.
I thought Rush was great. I thought Ford and Ferrari was very good.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the tiebreaker. So I go Queen and Slim 10. It's not perfect, but I really liked it. And it was different. It was something different.
Yeah.
9. You guys might be the indie people, but I like to throw a couple documentaries on the list. Apollo 11, which I actually saw
in
the theater.
Jesus Christ.
It was a CNN documentary.
It's supposed to be great. I didn't see it.
It's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't see it yet.
It is
all old footage.
Great.
Right?
Yeah.
It's on my Amazon.
No narration.
Queue. Yeah.
It made the short list for documentary, but it didn't get the nomination. Number 8, Us. And that's going to be it for black people, I think, on this list.
That's my number 8, actually.
Us. Oh, yeah. Look at you guys.
At number 8.
Go Fish.
Lupita Nyong'o. I know we're not talking Oscars yet. To me, that is the biggest snub.
Two roles, one movie. No cups. Hey-o. Yeah.
There you go.
Sorry, guys.
Number 8, Us. Number 7, The Edge of Democracy, my other documentary from Netflix. I cannot stress, not to sound like one of these, like, have you seen this documentary? You should really watch it because it's very important right now.
Because you're also a reader. So,
it's really important right now. Though. That movie was so good. It is so on point with basically you get to watch a foreign country go the route of their Trump and the corruption. And it's Edge of Democracy on Netflix, easy enough to watch. Awesome. Okay. Just really awesome. Number 6... This one's for Jeff, also from Netflix, and a late entry into my list because I saw it after I put out my original top 10
list. I recoded it for you?
No.
Oh.
No, you'll know why it's for you. The Two Popes. Jeff, obviously, a born-again Christian, does not like the Catholicism.
I love the Catholic Church.
Are you a born-again Christian?
No. I'm an atheist.
You came up in the Catholic.
I hate all religious
He's
stuff.
Jeff, okay. He is Jeff Marr.
Yeah.
The two popes, though, I just watched it out of like a, well, it's got some good reviews. It's on Netflix. Why wouldn't I watch it? Give it a try. I enjoyed it. I just thought it was, I thought it was so good. And it was not the type of movie, I thought I was going to be just watching it out of like obligation. Like, well, it might get some nominations. Let me see. But I really, really, I thought it was just obviously well acted and had enough humor that kept it much lighter than I thought it would be. And yeah, it was just, I was just, that was like the biggest surprise probably of the year for me, that I was like, I really enjoyed that movie. So there's my bottom top five.
What, did you like it more than The New Pope?
I didn't like The New Pope.
The New Pope. I just, yeah, I would watch it just to see what it's about, but it's just like, I wasn't like in on it. Yeah. And then it was like, when it was like getting nominated for awards, I was like, really? The two popes?
I'm telling you, it just surprised me. Religion aside, it's not like for the faithful. But I was just like, it is Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce, who are both very good actors. The guy wrote, didn't he do something big before The Two Popes? Like, it's somebody who has like some other, if Chris can get on, if our tech crew can get on that. But I think he has like at least one or two other really like substantial acclaimed credits to his name.
Well, the craziest thing this year was Chernobyl. The guy who made it did like a lifetime of like crap.
Yeah,
like Hangover he did 3. City
of, did he do City of God?
I think he made it City of God.
Constant Gardner.
Yeah, Constant Gardner's good.
Won the Oscar. Terrific Rachel Weisz performance.
City of God was almost like Parasite-like in a sense of like the foreign movie that everyone's like, you have to see it.
Yeah.
You have to see it around. When did that come out? Like 02, 03?
Something like that.
I saw that early on and was like too much hype. And then I just said, eight years later, I said, let me watch it again. And I was like, oh yeah, that was awesome.
That was back to back. So he did City of God.
What was City Guy? What's the year?
02.
02, okay.
The Constant Gardener was 05.
Nailed it.
Yeah, those are two really strong.
So that's an, I mean, good actors and the guy who did City of God is like enough cred.
Yeah.
Sure. Maybe I have to. It
just surprised me because it was like, if you go in not looking for any particular thing, obviously you don't have to buy into any. It's more like them talking and debating their own kind of personal theology and their own faith. And it's just, I was very surprised at how much, not only just that it was a good movie, but that I enjoyed it. I wasn't just like, that was well made and I'll never watch it again and who cares, but I actually enjoyed watching it.
Now, are they in it at the same time, or is the first hour the first Pope and then second?
No, it's a lot. It's Jonathan Pryce, I think he was nominated. He wasn't nominated, or was he? No, does he nominate for lead actor?
I don't think so. No,
he is nominated.
I think it was just Scarlett Johansson, just nominated for everything.
Hopkins is the supporting actor. She need two nominations.
This is actually the true story of the Pope handoff, right? Now, did they get into how the Pope before this last Pope was covering up molestation for years?
They do talk about molestation, but they don't talk about
he was covering up for years. Jonathan Pope retires. It was like the good doc got into it.
If you're looking for,
I forget what it was called. Really got into how
Jonathan Pryce was nominated for best actor.
What's it, Ratzenberg or whatever?
Ratzinger.
He had to retire basically because he was. They were just so caught in it that
that's
he stepped
not
away.
The way it's portrayed in this. But
of course not.
No. I'm just saying if you're, it's definitely not going. Well, I don't know that this director is necessarily. It's not like he's writing it as propaganda for the
church.
No.
I'm not even.
It's just
at
not
that.
The tone. Yeah. But it's addressed. But it's obvious. It's not the focus. It's not a movie. It's not an expose type movie. It's not Spotlight, but with the Pope. Just a. But you see their different approaches, and it's I think it's very deserving of the awards as a movie that it got. So there's my bottom of my top 10.
Did anyone stumble in the Netflix like pop up downtown?
No.
I stumbled in it yesterday. It's at the old Pearl River Market, that shop. It's like just like I don't even know what to describe it. It's just like. You walk in and it's like huge screens of like Irishman, Two Popes, Dolomite, and Marriage Story. So it's like the four Netflix movies, and it's just like they have like clothes from the movies. They have like they're it's like blasting. Oh. It kind of doesn't even make any sense what it is, but it's like I was just wondering if you were there. But they were doing the Two Popes too.
It was like
they had the wardrobe from it and like behind the glass.
Jeff Cerulli, what say you? Give me your bottom ten,
top
bottom
ten
five
pop ups this year. let me check. I made a list.
Well, check it twice.
But I was saying before you were going to jump on it, isn't that crazy? The guy made Chernobyl, did like a lifetime of crap, and now did like a critically acclaimed show he's winning awards for. Like, it just gives you hope. Just like,
that's why you don't stop.
He did like Hangover 3. It was all like the sequels of bad movies, and it was like,
but that's also
amazing.
Why you shouldn't like when people are just trying to get work.
Uh-huh.
It is a job, and to get to that passion project, or I think sometimes just to stay in the business,
make connections.
But Jeff had two good films out of the gate, though.
I know. He was at the premiere of the first one.
It was Hunger.
I didn't know you back then.
I thought it was Hunger Games. Hungry. But then I got there, I was like, well, I'll stay for Hunger.
Yeah. Do you see we got ripped off this year? ESPN
I thought
us
I
off.
Tagged you on something ESPN like ripped on us Twitter off. With it.
Yeah,
because they, yes.
All right, so I made a top 10 list. My 10, number 10. My list will probably look more like Chris's list than yours, because I know I have one that you absolutely hated.
I've got a couple
that
surprises.
I thought was a delight.
Well, I think that... I know there's one I didn't hate. I can't just say them. I'm sorry.
So number 10, I had The Farewell. Did you see that?
Not yet.
But it was good.
That's
Awkwafina,
huh?
Right?
Yeah, yes. Awkwafina. She's good in it.
Golden Globe winner.
I'm not going to watch it. Her Nora from Queen show.
Friend of the podcast.
Why not?
I don't need it in my life.
I auditioned for
that. My girlfriend started watching it.
Okay.
And I'm like...
I'm usually good at impressions, but that's my terrible Awkwafina impression.
It's like a weird Little John.
I was like, huh? Who's that?
Don't speak too ill of her. She's also a friend of the podcast. She's
podcast. I'm not speaking any ill of
her. She's a celebrity, and then you are on my radar. That's a sign of you've made it.
No, I'm not saying anything negative.
She got
about
the
I
mundane
I'm
festival bump.
You're saying
I'm
negative.
Fun
I'm not.
Of her.
I'm saying she was fantastic in The Farewell. Really
she's great.
Good. I really love the movie. The new show, I don't need it. There's too much stuff that it's like, you know what I mean? That's like just like more of a take on, there's just so many things. And I don't, my girlfriend started watching. I'm like, I have no room in my life for Nora from Queens.
But that's not cool.
And I've talked to you about it. It's not for me to touch, but I said there's black people that get upset at her.
Oh, yeah, with
that
the
they
thing,
feel
yeah.
like she used like, quote unquote, a black scent, and now she doesn't need it because she's super famous.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not, that's, you know.
Well,
I don't know.
The AAVE.
Yeah. So I like that movie a lot. I thought it was really touching. It was really good. And
yeah.
You'll see it in a minute. I think you will like it.
Okay.
It's good. It's legitimately really good. My number 9 movie.
I have one free Fios rental that I still haven't used.
Is it
so
on there?
I'm going to use it on that. Yeah.
My number 9 was a movie called The Last Black Man in San Francisco, which you hated, which I thought was charming. I was charmed by it.
You're
charmed or you're not. I was charmed by it. I thought it was really creative. I thought it was really touching.
Too many black people for JL.
I was like, okay, this is the whole thing. I know I come off as a hater a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I, meaning Bill Hader, meaning a super talented sketch performer, but I was, when it was on Prime, I was like, oh shit, good. I've heard great things about this. So I sit down, the opening monologue by like the guy on a little soapbox talking about gentrification. I was like, okay, I'm here. Like, good.
Yeah.
Let's see where this goes. I made it like 80 minutes. I was like, God damn, there's like 35 minutes left. And I just stopped it because I just was not enjoying it at all.
I mean, you weren't charmed by it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And I think one knock you could make on it is at the end when it's like, sometimes movies have this flaw where like when he does the play, they kind of say what the movie's about and they say everything. I kind of didn't mind it, but I could see some people being turned off by that. But
yeah.
I thought it was really good about this guy who like, you know, his history was bullshit. It was lied to and he went with it. Because that's what he wanted to believe, and it was never true. That was never like his home. His grandfather?
Yeah,
his grandfather didn't build the house. Or
spoiler,
but it's obviously about gentrification. It can't be any more
spoiler.
But that's in the.
Although I had a feeling it was going to be fake.
Yeah,
there's like
lying.
There's a canon.
I trusted the white realtor over the gentle old black man.
I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
It's like watching.
Did you also wear the MAGA hat that you pretended to buy for your Donald Trump character that you really bought?
What a cover, right? What a cover.
I'm
going to
play Donald Trump.
So you thought the movie should have been about the realtor. It should have, just like you could watch Ghostbusters and be on the side of the EPA guy because you're like, they're polluting the city.
The benevolent white realtor in San Francisco.
Yes.
That's the one I need to see.
Number 8, I had a movie called Her Smell. Did you see Her Smell?
Wow.
Never even heard of it.
Did you like Her Smell?
Not as much as you did.
Yeah, I thought it was, it's like a really strict three act like structure like any movie, but it's really it's like basically like three different movies. And
by the way, a scarf and an ascot just magically appeared on Jeff as he was describing this movie.
Elizabeth Moss, I would watch her read the phone book all day.
Read you know, watch Scientology.
Yeah, well, not that. Well, not that. She's great. I love her.
Isn't it crazy? She's a Scientologist. Yeah. She gets away with it. I like how some people were all up in their business. Like I think Chris Pratt had a photo where he was drinking out of a Poland Spring bottle, and they're like, "That's not reusable," and he had to issue an apology. But Elizabeth Moss, it's like, "It's just Scientology, whatever."
I'm just okay with Tom Cruise getting away with it because I feel like he's so insulated and protected. I feel like they don't even want him to see bad things because he's so valuable to the. Like Elizabeth Moss probably knows some stuff, but Tom Cruise, I feel like, is like, "Do not ever let Tom Cruise see the slaves."
Yeah,
or else. We're in trouble.
Well, they built his house.
And he's so great.
Yeah.
Top Gun. And Tom Cruise is so great.
Yeah.
How long are you going to camp out for
Tom Cruise? I'm not a Tom Gun fan, but really? I will see it because I'm a Tom Cruise fan.
Best Tom Cruise movie? Cocktail? Either. Have you seen Cocktail recently? What a fucking ridiculous movie. It's
Let
so
me tell
fun.
You what the best.
Cocktail.
Let's go back to
Tom Cruise. Edge of Tomorrow.
No.
Good movie.
Dessert is Very like a top good. Five Tom Cruise movie. I know that. And so, anyway.
I love Eyes Wide Shut, too. Which isn't known for Cruise, but that's a fucking great movie.
Kubrick, right? Yeah. Is he your guy? Is he your number one guy?
I know you I like better than
Kubrick's
that.
My number one.
Yes!
I have The Shining
Just
number
like
one
my
still.
Friend who loves Terrence Malick. Kubrick is his number one.
No,
Terrence Malick. There will be no tears shed in Bloomfield when he departs this earth.
Terrence Malick. but I was going to say, it's like a tight three-act structure. It's basically like three different movies, and I love the first one so much, more than the other two, but I just loved it so much, and it was like really raw the way it was shot. And
like
you wanna,
Full Metal Jacket. It's like that first part of Full
like
Metal
that,
Jacket
yeah.
is so good that I consider it a good movie, even though that's really all
that's
I care about.
Yeah. The second act, it's like kind of boring on purpose, and the third act's fine, and it kind of brings it all together. But the first one I like so much.
That first like 35 jacket, minutes
it's like, this
is
movie's
like...
fucking awesome. Yeah. Seven I had, which
a
I thought
Kubrick
was...
film.
Yes, a Kubrick film, by the way. You just outed yourself as a Kubrick lover. Seven,
Kubrick
I thought this
Stan.
Was the funniest movie. Yeah, I'm Kubrick Stan. Funniest movie of the year, The Beach Bum.
Huh.
So funny.
Haven't Who's seen in that.
Harmony Korine's movie. It's Matthew McConaughey.
Whose movie?
Harmony Korine. He did Spring Breakers, a bunch of other stuff.
Gummo. He did,
he did Spring Breakers.
Kids.
Spring Breakers. Another movie I tried
he
to
did
get through.
Kids with Clark, yeah.
Kids
you didn't
with
like
Larry,
Spring Breakers?
Larry Clark.
Fantastic.
You know, I'm a big James Franco fan, but I wasn't digging it.
That's great.
He cooned it up real good.
I didn't get to the end.
Fever Dream.
I didn't get to the end. I mean, like halfway through Spring Break.
You turned it off?
I was just
you went
like,
back to school? You were off Spring Break?
Oh, I went to see Selena Gomez.
She's great. The girl's in it, and Hudgens.
Hudgens.
His wife's in it, too. I thought it was really fun. It's a really funny movie.
I'm a, what's her name? Who's singing the
it's
Super Bowl
right now?
The Super Bowl anthem?
Shakira and
no,
J-Lo?
The anthem.
Oh, I don't
what's
know.
Her name? Demi Lovato.
Oh.
That's my preferred Disney alum.
Yeah, he tried to get her.
Selena Gomez's new album is album of the year right now. Incredible.
Well, fortunately, the year's only 3 weeks in, so
they have to beat her. They have to beat her.
It's the pace car.
So they have to fucking beat her.
And you know what I put at number six, which is probably maybe your number two, The Irishman.
Okay, so you have it on your list.
I'm not a huge... I mean, Scorsese, obviously, I like him a lot.
Yeah.
But like mafia movies, it's just like been done a lot. I'm not always like super in, you know, but I just... This movie, the way it dealt with death, I thought was so interesting that, like, I just was, like, really enamored by it. And it got real heavy into the pensions in the second act that I was, like, a little, like, you know, and I know you got to get into it with Hoffa. But then the way the third act, it pulls it together and it's his life that I just thought it was so interesting. The way it's dealing with death in this guy's life, and it was kind of inconsequential, all these people he killed. Now it's come out obviously that this is his story and a lot of people discredit it, but you're going by his story, so that's okay. This is his take on what happened, and it's also forgivable. The scene where De Niro's kicking the guy and he's like a 85-year-old man, and I don't know why he didn't get someone else to just do it there.
Yeah.
But that is so bad, but it's just like it's forgivable because I thought the movie was really good.
Oh, I'm glad it made your list.
There you go. You surprised.
It is high on my list.
It's really good.
Chris?
What is that it? That's your
that's
five?
That's top 10, 9, 8, 7, 6.
Okay, so my at 10 is going to start with a shocker. Fighting with My Family. Stephen Merchant, Florence Pugh vehicle.
The Year of Pugh.
Based on a true story about a young woman as a wrestler, becoming a wrestler, trains with her family, goes up to the big leagues, and has to prove herself. You could kind of see where it was going plot-wise. Shit made me cry.
Especially since she's already a famous wrestler. Like, yeah. They wouldn't make
I didn't
it
know anything.
She,
yeah, I didn't know anything about...
A, yeah. I didn't see it.
I didn't know anything about wrestling, you know, the modern wrestling, but...
it's really good.
It got me.
She's excellent.
She's so good.
I mean, she was in two really good movies this year and then a third movie.
Yeah, so I really dug.
When did that come? I think that one came out sometime in midsummer.
Well, technically last year, right?
February. It was. Yeah. This one was February, and I picked this up from Redbox
Merchant
last week.
I need
Chris,
more content.
Keeping Redbox alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember Redbox? More Stephen Merchant. I've never used it.
I love it. Cookie
you
here's
know, Stephen
Jeff.
Merchant. I got to say, there was this movie I stumbled upon. I think it was called Table 49 or Table 19.
Uh-huh. Good movie.
It was 19 or 49, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Craig Robinson and Anna Kendrick.
It's fine.
Just like a solid flick.
It's a soft rom-com. It's fine. But Stephen Merchant's in it, and he is by far the best thing in it.
And he's 6'7", which I feel like is important that we have roles for people that height.
R.I.P.
She just wakes up.
Hello, ladies.
No, no, but she hears Jeff's voice for the first time.
She wants to say hi.
She's going, there is a stranger in my home.
She remembers from last year. She's like, is that the guy who likes the indie films?
You did meet her.
I met her. She's great.
Right.
I loved her.
So, yeah, but she's met Chris more. So like for you, it's more like she probably won't remember.
She wants to see what I'm about.
Yeah. But Florence Pugh, I thought that what I really liked secretly or low-key about Fighting With My Family was getting to see The Rock as The Rock again.
Yeah.
Even if briefly. Just because, and I don't mean this disrespectfully to The Rock, his greatest work was as The Rock in wrestling. And I mean that because he took that entertainment and made it. There's a reason he's the biggest movie star in the world.
Right.
He was way outclassing the mic skills and the charisma of the average wrestler.
Yeah.
So to see him doing that again, I was like, yeah, in college, this guy was like the most entertaining person across the board for me.
Yeah.
Vince Vaughn, really good in this too.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. I know he's, I guess, supposed to be a MAGA guy.
Oh,
but
he's like the libertarian strain of
the
MAGA.
Yeah, I didn't get the controversy because it's like, didn't everyone know he's like libertarian, Republican? And also, you know, like,
he grew up on the North Shore of Chicago. He's rich guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, he was fantastic. So my number nine, Good Boys. It made me laugh.
Yeah.
My bottom two made me feel something like crying, laughing. Funniest movie I've seen since Spy. So that's about like a 4 or 5 year stretch of not seeing movies that were amusing. But
do you mind if we?
Do you want to pause?
No, well, I was gonna say if we could just get her out here to like see Jeff,
okay,
and then
we'll
she'll shut up.
We'll pause.
Hold on.
Then it like.
Did you get erased?
We just gotta. I think we just have to start another track. So, Good Boys was number nine. At eight, I have Us. I know it didn't live up to people's hype, but
you guys both had on your list. I didn't think it was that great.
I thought that performance was fantastic.
She's
solid,
great.
Fantastic performance, solid movie.
See, Us for me was I'm kidding. With about 15 minutes left in it, I like leaned over to Laura and was like, "I mean, it's good, but it's nothing. It's nothing.
Yeah,
like,
it's great." Fine.
And then the end, and then I like a minute before the sort of ending is revealed, I said, "Oh shit!" Pop, 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 pop. And I called it, and I think that made me feel really good about myself. And then when it happened, I was like, that's awesome. And it made me just go, sometimes an ending can be cool enough and force you to then go, oh, now it kind of reframes the movie for me. That I said, oh, shit, you know what? It just went from B to like high A minus for me because I just thought it took like what was an entertaining but did not seemingly special movie, but it just flipped it for me to like. And she was, we'll get to it, but she is my number one snub.
Why couldn't she leave the basement though? If she had the smarts She was a normal person. She got stuck down there. How come she couldn't just leave?
Maybe she was just fixated on revenge and making sure she had it right. I don't know,
man. I think that movie had a lot of holes. It was fun.
It had holes, but he's working in the horror genre, and the horror genre can leave a lot of things, like a lot of like holes and things unraveled and things not like tightened together. So I think he's working from that genre. I think people just expected so much more.
And he's working from Get Out, is like going to be one of those movies that like 10 years from now is like a major movie of its decade versus like
solid.
It's not just like, hey, that was good. Yeah. Like people will talk about Get Out. Like,
it's like, I think about like Ari Aster, you think about Midsommar, you think about like Hereditary, and this, like you have these three movies that are interesting and they're anchored by these terrific performances from the female leads. So I think working from that sandbox is like, she's fucking great. Mm-hmm. And you can take that performance and I'll throw that on and enjoy that anytime.
No question. She was fantastic.
Number seven, I have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Just possibly, a lot of people say that's in his top five of Tarantino's films. It was an enjoyable film. A really good performance from performances from Leo and Brad Pitt. Just liked it. Yeah. It's one of those Hollywood flicks that's just kind of a spurious thing. A lot of people compare it to at least the last, 15, 20 minutes to
Bastards or Django?
Yes, and Bastards, yeah. So I really enjoyed it. Number six, I got Knives Out. Shout out to Rian Johnson, Marylander. Just a fun...
He had to make up for that Last Jedi nonsense.
Well, no matter what he did, I think people were going to fucking hate. People hate the Star Wars movie. The new one comes out. Then they hate the one before. They hate that one.
But I liked Force Awakens when I saw it.
I did too.
Like a superstar. But then The Last Jedi, I thought the tone of it was just so... Anyway, I thought it was so different that I was like, why are they doing like Family Guy jokes in this movie? That's not Star Wars.
But Knives Out, I dug it. It's just like a fun,
very good
popcorn movie. Really good acting. I love the cinematography. I love it. It was actually really funny, especially... It's like one of those narratives that I say, like, this movie and a film like Ready or Not are, I mean, maybe JL would appreciate this. Like,
did you say Ready or Not was good?
It is good. Okay. I think Ready or Not unintentionally was like one of those movies that I always say, like, if I were to put my metaphorical koofy on, my Hotep hat, and say, like, it was one of the two of the, both of those movies were like this pursuit of whiteness it's like that, like what Ta-Nehisi Coates talks about, where it's like that pursuit of whiteness and I'll do anything that I can to maintain my status, much like how Parasite is in a way. But I really dug it, and it had those undertones, and you could see it more specifically in Knives Out than you did in Ready or Not. Ready or Not's a little more supernatural. Five.
Wait. So you're gonna run your
whoa,
hotel?
We're going five.
Oh shit! Sorry.
So now do JL, I get my five through one.
No, now
sorry.
We comment on Chris's list number.
Okay,
Knives Out was very fun.
I loved
it. Fun. That's what everyone says, and it is fun.
This is a fun movie.
Yeah.
Five. Toy Story 4.
Whoa.
I loved Toy Story 4. I love Pixar.
For Toy Story 4, please. Brian's joke.
I went into, and this might have helped Toy Story 4, but I was very against it when I heard they were even making it.
You were pissed.
Because I was just like, you have this beautiful ending of Toy Story 3, a trilogy, is sort of a natural finish in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. And then it was like Disney, which, as they've done with everything they do, we do not care about the artistic integrity of anything. We are going to beat you until you shit billions. And Toy Story 4 was going to be a moneymaker. There's no doubt about it. But I was like, why are they doing this? And then I saw it, and I was like, God damn it, I loved Toy Story 4. I enjoyed it so much. Obviously, you don't usually see a movie that's the fourth in a series be like, this was amazing.
It was really good.
Every Toy Story for me could have been nominated for Best Picture in the year it came out. So it's not like, I think they're all phenomenal. But Toy Story 4, I just thought was so good. And
I got teary-eyed at the end. Like, but you know, Buzz and Woody give that spoiler.
Mm-hmm.
They give that hug, and then the little toys. There's that Buzz gives them that extra hug, where it's like, oh God, like you're making me feel emotions for these goddamn toys. One of which is a MAGA voice, and. So, Toy Story 4, it's a weird one to be so high, but I loved it.
These MAGA dudes be acting, man. Did you think about putting it
4?
No. Because 4 is locked in.
It's an enjoyable movie. It's good. It's nowhere better than 3. It's the same idea. The toys are on the road again. They got to get
But I loved home. The it was fun. Loved it was Forky. Good. I loved that they added it's an fun. Actual fun new character.
The transgender character. Yeah, you know that's what it was about.
No!
I'm just kidding. They're trying to be woke. It's so good, now, though.
Top 4 are my 4 that I'm like, if any one of these wins Best Picture, I'm good with it. Tarantino did not make my list. Joker did not make my list. But these are movies, and Knives Out did not make my list. But those are all movies that I really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Joker I liked. But I think when we watch it again, I'm going to then look at it through the, now that I don't feel like The Dark Knight or Heath Ledger are threatened because it's such a different movie, maybe I will look at it a little more openly. I went in kind of arms folded, like, well, let's see what you got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm very protective of The Dark Knight.
Yeah,
but it was very good. It was a creative thing, and we'll hopefully talk about Joker maybe when we come to Oscars, because the Todd Phillips attacks are absurd.
Well, he kind of shot himself in the foot
but he became the guy. Well, I can't pick on the Asian director because he's, you know, he's a person of color and his movie's very important.
Mm-hmm.
I can't pick on the three guys who've like won Oscars because obviously they've been certified. But this fucking hangover guy who's talking
that's
shit.
That's what it is. Him.
You will stand in for all problems with white men in the world through your movie Joker. Anyway.
We're going to get it. I mean,
maybe we'll get into it later. Move on. Let's go.
Top 4, very simple. 1917, number 4.
Yep.
Number 3, Parasite. Number 2, Marriage Story, which was very personal to me because I was freaking out Laura by almost giggling during their fight scenes, which were very intense, because I go, they're doing this outside the presence of their kids. I heard that shit like on a monthly basis right in front of me from like the age of like 7 to 15.
Every day I wake up, I wish you were dead.
Why don't you fucking die? Why are you even here? And I was like laughing. I was like, oh, this is like a warm blanket. And it's. I just thought it was. I don't even like that guy Baumbach's movies, to be honest. Like, I think when you may have mentioned to me, like, are you going to watch Marriage Story?
Yeah.
I was like, I don't even like that dude's movies. But he is focused so solely on like divorce that I feel like it was almost like he finally just
that's his life
crushed it. This is his Eminem show of divorce films. It was like, I've now reached the peak of my powers before fame makes me like a lesser artist. And number 1 is The Irishman, which I saw in the theater and loved. And then I watched it again because Laura hadn't seen it, so we watched it on Netflix. And that was going to be my test of like, okay, did I just like it? Because I was like, I saw it once. It's not worth rewatching. I loved it the second time. So I was like, okay, so now I don't have any doubts about putting it one.
Even though it's too long?
I know. I felt like it was an epic, but not just because it was long. I felt like it really was like, there are some flaws in it, but somebody had suggested one of the things, you know how the technology... It's not like it made De Niro look 30. It made him look like an old 50-year-old.
Yeah, it did.
But then somebody said, now they may be giving benefit of the doubt to Scorsese, but I think somebody of his stature kind of deserves it, that they were doing, since it's the old man telling the story, that you're seeing what he thinks he would look like. So he looks younger, his eyes look bluer, but he still doesn't look like a kid. He doesn't look like a 30-year-old. He looks like... This is how an 80-year-old would kind of envision himself 50 years ago. That may be giving too much credit.
I've heard that, I don't know. It's tough to say. Because it is a little jarring, I think, when you watch it home on like an HD TV, and it's like pretty crisp, and you see it's like... It's not perfect. It's not like...
But it makes me think, for all the money they spent, Scorsese wouldn't just wouldn't put out some bullshit that didn't look good unless the choice was for it to look that way.
Unless it's just limited to what you can still do.
Right.
You're asking a lot to take. How old is De Niro? Like 75? and you want to make them look like, you know, 40. It's right. It's a lot. So right. I don't know. I've read that, and that might be like a cop out, but it's also like I think you get used to it.
Yeah.
It looks just a little scratchy. Like, it's not crisp, obviously, because right. It's like they have to. You're putting a filter. And it's also, it's seven lenses, they said. Yeah,
it's very lenses. It's very like Snapchat and, filtering.
Yeah, it is. It's very, yeah, it's very like
okay, stick
blurry.
Your tongue out. Now I'm 40.
Yeah.
And there's also a few scenes where De Niro's looking at the camera. And I think because there were seven lenses, it was just unavoidable. There's one with Hoffa when he's going to go, not with Hoffa, when he's going to go take care of Hoffa. And Pesci's telling him. And he's sitting down. And whenever they pan the camera or they do the shot on De Niro, he's looking at it like four or five times. And you're just like, all right, I think there was just lenses everywhere, whatever. It's still a great movie.
Yep.
I was kidding about the long thing. That's just everybody was like being annoying about that.
Right. And people were watching it almost like, to me, I was glad I saw it in the theater, and I wish more people had, because it was just like, I'm in the theater. Now I'm giving it the like, yeah. the sort of treatment it deserves. Whereas I think we are so conditioned, people. Now, it was like a no cell phone zone mm-hmm. when I watched it at home, so it would be as authentic as possible. But it was like, yeah, people now are just like, well, I'm going to check a text, and then I'm going to like, let me go to the bathroom. I'll keep it playing. Like, I don't need to break it or whatever. Yeah. I'll pause it. I got to go. Shopping. I'll finish it later.
Can you spoke to this, and I want your opinion on this too, Jeff. Both these movies, I thought, were very good.
Both
Marriage Story and The Irishman. What do you think about now people trying to like demean the quality of these films just because now they can just get it? They don't have to work that hard to get the movie.
What do you mean, like people just watching
like,
it?
Like the scene, Marriage Story, the scene between the argument scene. People are like, oh, that's like level one acting class.
Oh, yeah, they became a meme.
What the fuck is that?
It became a meme, and it's like, you can kind of do that with fucking anything.
With anything.
You pull it out and make fun of it, and you don't watch the movie in the whole entire context, and you just watch the scene. Like, yeah, it can be seen as goofy and overacting. People don't like Scarlett Johansson.
Right.
So she's the lighting
she's
rod.
Good
she's
in
great.
This.
Yeah.
She's great in this.
And him, people still kind of like they want to shit on him a little bit, but less than her. No one really right. has a major problem with him. So it's like, yeah, it became this kind of like meme, which is funny, but it also like, yeah, this is the way it's going. There should be ways that you can get your film on Netflix or something else that it doesn't have to be the theater route or whatever. It's like more control you can have over it. So I don't. It's just the way it's fucking going.
But
it's the way it's going.
What I think, and the analogy that I tweeted with regards to this, all the critiques of The Irishman, I said, when I go see a Broadway musical and I pay $170 for a ticket, and there's like some corny joke, the audience is like,
yeah,
and it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And I think it's because you've paid so much money, you're like, if I don't laugh, then I'm the dipshit who spent a bunch of money. So let me enjoy it, because I have to enjoy this or else I'll be pissed. You go to a movie for $15 or $20, it's less, but you kind of give it, you're in a chair, you're eating your snacks, and you're kind of like, I'm here, I'm at the movie. The
yeah.
movie is the point. I think when you get to watch it on Netflix, it cheapens it a little. So now you get this. It's the analogy was Broadway comedy to like a $10 ticket to a comedy show. Mm-hmm. Well, then you'll sit there with your arms folded and go, I don't know, this guy's not very funny.
Right.
But like the people at the Broadway show are like, ah, he said knock, knock.
Yeah. There's less invested.
And yeah. Netflix feels like more like, well, now I've spent nothing on this. Relative, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're just in my... So now I'm going to sit here in harsh judgment because I have the power. I didn't give you any money, Noah Baumbach or Martin Scorsese. So
right.
I will sit here and I will pick apart your little film. Whereas like if you go to the movie, obviously people critique movies they see, but I feel
sure.
like to a lesser degree, it's like I would love to almost do a social, like a three-year social study of like the same movies... But some people only see them on Netflix and some people see them in theaters, and you have to get kind of a similar group of people. And do they come with the high-minded criticism more when they see it in the movie or when they see it on Netflix?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a really good point, and I agree with you. I remember your tweet, the Broadway. It's really funny. Because you do sometimes if you go to a Broadway show, like the shit they laugh at, you're like, what is going on?
Sometimes it's like, well,
sometimes
that's
it
not
is,
that
but
funny.
Sometimes it's like, what is this?
Yeah.
Why is everyone
this has
dying?
To work. I spent my
we don't have rent this month.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Jeff,
give my top five?
Yes, give your top
number
five.
Number five, we just talked about A Marriage Story.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to you, I love Baumbach.
Right.
I like all his films. I think he's great. And he does the same thing over and over again, the relationship drama. I loved While We're Young, even that movie, that's kind of under the radar.
It's a good one.
You know who was great in Marriage Story? Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta was really great.
So good in Marriage Story.
Everybody gave Laura Dern all the
She's going to win the Oscar, acclaim. And I don't get why. I thought she was overacting. If we're going to talk about anyone in that movie, she was overacting over those two, I think. Over a driver and
It was a good role. I thought Ray Liotta was so good.
He comes in.
He was great.
And they mentioned nothing.
Yeah, he comes in and he's just like...
That's a nice little scene.
Right away.
Exactly.
Just hitting threes.
And he's like, you're going to want to do this.
It's like a heat check.
It's a heat check. Absolutely.
I didn't want to say it, but it's a heat check. Yeah.
Dion Waiters Award.
He's so good in it. And
you thought he was overacting?
No, I thought he was great.
Laura Dern would be, as opposed to...
I don't think
overacting. And she's a lock. She's an absolute lock. I forget who else in that category, but it's like no question
she's going to win. I think it's weird that she's a lock.
She's an absolute lock. It's crazy.
I don't know if Scarlett's in there for Jojo Rabbit. Especially because it's this sort of acting-driven movie. But yeah, the fact that they like kind of just Ray Liotta, I was like, well, if they're sweating Laura Dern, why aren't they sweating Ray Liotta also?
So you got... Kathy Bates for Richard Jewell, Laura Dern.
She has a chance.
Scarlett Johansson and Jojo Rabbit playing the female Roberto Benigni. And you have Florence Pugh and Little Women and Margot Robbie, Bombshell.
You hated Jojo Rabbit. I liked it. Did you see it?
I liked Jojo Rabbit.
I thought it was great. What was your issue with it?
It's well done. It's fine. But it's just like, another Holocaust movie.
Is that fair to say, though? How many Holocaust movies are there? The good little Nazi.
I was like, fuck this, man.
But it wasn't like glorifying Nazis because he still was like, he was a little kid. He's in that world.
Yeah,
and he's
I'm
like
kind of done. I'm over it.
Yeah, you just.
I'm over it.
Like what I said in the beginning, you're either charmed by it or you're not.
It's satire, and I get it. I get what he's doing.
Stephen Merchant.
It's not a bad film.
Never been bad.
It's just like
it took me like 25 minutes to get into Jojo Rabbit.
Get the
hang of it. I was just like, okay, this is like mildly amusing. But then once I was in it, I was like, okay, I kind of like. Like then I was like, okay, I like it.
And Sam Rockwell's too good of an actor to be playing like
he
a
was
fucking,
good in Richard Jewell.
Yeah, he's
which I
great.
It was
in
a
that.
Real disrespected movie.
Richard Jewell. It's because
of the journalist thing.
It is interesting that he took that angle. Because I didn't really know too much about it watching it, but then if you read about it, like which is out now, that it's like, well, why did he make her such a sex hound?
Yeah.
Because it's based on a real person. It is interesting that's the choice he made when it's like you're taking real people. But, I mean, other than that, the movie's it's fine.
You can still say the media is fucked up but
without
doing that. Yeah.
But maybe he just was like, Olivia Wilde, you're kind of hot. What if you were a slut? I think everybody like kind of like
director
to see that.
Director of Booksmart. Did you know that Olivia Wilde directed Booksmart?
I did.
Okay.
Did you see a movie this year?
I saw Booksmart.
Every movie, they're like, hey guys, it's Olivia Wilde, the director of Booksmart. I'm like, all right, enough. She's introducing the fucking red kids from USC. Booksmart was not great.
Yes!
It was super bad.
With humor.
You have the Jonah Hill character. You have
played by Jonah Hill's sister.
Yeah. Like, yes.
Yeah.
And you have the which they keep that under wraps. They're like, no, just don't talk about that yet. Michael Cera character is the girl, the awkward girl. They get in the fight. There's hookups like in the same way. Mm-hmm. They go to the party.
There's a lot of slow motion to rap.
It's becoming a cliche.
I watched it because I was like, it was my movie where I go, you know what? Enough people who I think are funny people and are whose tastes don't usually like fuck with mine. Go against mine. I was like, yeah, it's on Hulu. Let me watch it because I didn't catch it. But the preview, I said, I know exactly. I remember saying to Laura, I said, I know exactly what that movie is. No, thank you. But then enough. The critics were good. People who I know who have good sense of humor and everything were like, it's a really good movie. I was like, okay. And I fought through it to the end, but I was like about 45 minutes in. I was like, I was fucking right.
You know what's better? Blockers.
So much better.
Because I was fine with Booksmart on the surface. Like it has some moments.
Blockers
that's funny.
Was
but Blockers
really
was
good.
Legit, really funny. Also made by a woman. But yet you don't go to the movies and say Blockers made by a woman.
Well, that's not the best movie I saw. No, I'm kidding. Here we go. Perfect.
Blockers is a better movie.
But that's from 2017, 18.
If someone was asking me, like, I thought the funniest movie I saw this year was Beach Bum, but that's not for everyone. If someone was like, what's like a nice, funny mainstream comedy, I'd say go see Blockers. That was funny.
I said, the first thing I thought, because I thought Ike Barinholtz, I was like, good for, like, holy shit, like, this was great. He was such a great scene stealer. I said, this is, if Dane Cook sees Blockers, he's like, instead of doing like four shitty movies right out the gate, that's the role I needed. I needed that role. Because for Ike Barinholtz, that's the way you really become, is that you don't try to carry a movie right away. You just want to be a memorable part of a good movie. And he's phenomenal in that, I thought, and I didn't expect it. Because I always thought, like, I remember from Mad TV, and I was like, he was all right.
Yeah.
It's like the same thing I thought with Will Forte. He's all right on SNL. And then everything he did for like 5 years after was SNL was fucking awesome.
We're both MacGruber. Are you MacGruber people? I thought it was so funny.
Classic film.
It's so funny.
One of the funniest films.
Look at that. What year is that?
MacGruber, I think,
was 2010.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It was a while ago.
But I loved Nebraska.
Nebraska was good, yeah.
So he had like MacGruber.
I'm surprised you like that.
That's Alexander Payne.
But you have to understand, it's... there's so much contention between the parents that I was like,
that you
like
it. That's what you like.
That's how you get me.
So, yeah, to go back to Marriage Story.
2010, yeah.
2010. Look, ask me any movie. I know when you came out. It's a really good movie. The performance is really good. And it's fantastic. Number four, I have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Okay.
Loved it. I love Tarantino.
Yeah.
This was like a good time. I like the way he... kind of went back, and it's kind of like obviously like a love story to Hollywood, which everyone says,
a love letter to Hollywood. I hear that.
And it's his take on a horrific murder. It is his take that, it, you know, almost like Inglourious Bastards in a way. But I like the way he mixed in like old Hollywood with the old footage and like the Bruce Lee stuff, even though they're not happy about it, but I think his family's just trying to make a thing about it. They weren't, the Lee estate wasn't happy with his portrayed, but it's also like, this whole movie's a fantasy. Sharon Tate died. Like, it's like, this is just, it's a Hollywood story.
Get over it, Asians.
I think Brad Pitt, yeah.
Brad Pitt's
you
fantastic.
Got Parasite, what else do you want?
Brad Pitt is so good.
He is, but I still feel like he's also locked in. I know
Asian
it's his
people.
Time.
He's locked
in.
He goes on the roof. He takes his shirt off.
But part of me
is like, why is he all like? Just like Laura Dern, I'm like, they're both good performances, but it's weird to me that it's like it's a done deal. Yeah. It's his award. But I thought DiCaprio, for the second straight Tarantino movie he's been in, is not getting the amount of respect he deserves.
Because he's too pretty.
I thought
pretty.
He was great.
Brad Pitt's better, though. It's more. He had like more charisma. And like,
I really thought DiCaprio was so great.
Like the acting shit, the him beating himself up. He's got the stutter. He was doing a lot.
Look, Brad Pitt killed his wife and nobody cared.
Yeah.
He also killed his wife. And he's just so charismatic in it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's just such a good movie. It's such a good time, too. Number three, I have your favorite movie, Midsommar. Loved it. Loved Midsommar.
He said before you came, you know Jeff's going to have Midsommar in his top
was
five.
So good. What a fun time that is. Now, you once went on Hollywood's fun. This is like even more fun. You're just on, it's a long movie too. You're on a journey. You're stuck there. It's a breakup movie. At the end of the day, all it is a breakup movie.
That
you
opening
know it's
going to
go to shit. The opening scene is fantastic.
Oh, my God.
And that scene, you saw it. You didn't like it. That scene where the couple leaves and they're like, where did they go? And then when she looks at him and she's like, oh, that's something you would do. It's like such a relationship fight that I've had a million times in my life. It's such a fun time, that movie. It's funny. It's dark. It's
got Chidi Ogonye from The Good Place.
I met him once.
Whenever I see him on TV, I say, Chidi Ogonye, 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 Chidi.
William
Jackson
Harper.
To the cadence of Smooth,
Harper.
Smooth Criminal.
I was trying to get him on the show. I actually saw him in a play.
This is pre-Midsommar?
Yes. Yeah, nice guy. Real nice guy.
This guy's hitting two for two because I don't know what he's done before. I think he did shorts, but Hereditary is fantastic.
Which did you like more?
Chris S.
Midsommar or
What's interesting about this is he takes like mythology. Like that's everything in Midsommar like exists. It's like these Nordic like tales, and he incorporated that in like this cult. And I thought that was really interesting that he took it. I think Hereditary maybe he made up a little bit more of it himself. But this, he took these old tales and kind of made it like this cult, and they had like they had reasoning behind what they were doing.
Right.
Like the old people, like you die at what age was it? Like 70, whatever. You're done. Mm-hmm. It's like the four seasons, and then you're done. And it like everything they did kind of made sense in their world. And she, of course, has nobody. Florence Pugh is fantastic in it. She has nobody. And then, of course, she likes this cult because
big
she fits
year for
in.
Florence
huge
Pugh.
Year for Florence Pugh.
There's,
and dating Zach Braff. I mean, does it get any bigger? Dating the guy from Garden State.
There's
yeah,
a
people
a,
gave her shit because he's a lot older than her.
He's 44. She's like 23.
It's not just.
But anyway,
that,
it's like
though.
The four seasons. And of course, she fits in there because she's like blonde and she doesn't have family. So it's great. The ending's great. I think very highly of this movie.
Can
obviously.
I make just a comment
yeah,
on that director?
Shit on it. I don't care.
No, no. Because the truth is, there's a lot of good in what this guy does. Like, somebody made a comment. Like, I obviously shit on it on Twitter. But some guy said, I think he's a great filmmaker who maybe could use an editor.
Sure.
I thought about that in total seriousness. I was like, you know what? Let's be fair. There's a lot that this guy does that's very strong. Like, Hereditary, this will make me sound like the opposite of it, mainstream corner. But Hereditary, I really liked.
Till the ending.
Till the ending, where I was like, the
really
weird
yeah.
naked devil cult.
We went
at
it on
like,
Twitter. I wrote back to you. I was like, well, but didn't that make it more interesting that it had this layer of depth that it wasn't like a paranormal movie where it's like, oh, there's ghosts. Like a movie I fucking hated, you know what I'm going to say, that people loved. I don't know how you felt about it. The Witch. I thought The Witch was the most boring
shit.
And I didn't see The Lighthouse because I hated The Witch so much. Because
Lighthouse sucks.
So boring.
Lighthouse sucks.
But Hereditary, I thought it gave it this extra like pop.
No, no.
Number
way
one, also
more
it refocused
different.
That you, and it's a trick. It's like a dirty trick where you focus on the little girl. Little girl's in the ad campaign. Little girl's in the trailer, and then she dies like 15
it's
minutes.
It's almost
in.
Like Psycho.
Yeah.
It's
like it's been done. It's not like it's new. Lost wanted. You know, Lost wanted to do that, right? The TV show Lost. Lost wanted to cast Michael Keaton in the role of Jack and then kill him in the first episode.
Oh, wow.
But promote it like Michael Keaton, right. Lost, Michael Keaton, and then obviously that didn't happen.
So Hereditary, yes, it was interesting, but I don't want to leave a movie that I've basically been enjoying and go like this. And then it's the end credits. I'm like, what the fuck? What was that? What was that choice? What was that? Uh-huh. Midsommar didn't have, it still had an ending where I was kind of like, but there was a lot of good in it.
Midsommar is a cleaner ending than Hereditary. It's way cleaner. Yeah. It has a closure that...
It's very disturbing.
Yeah. It's,
but it was... There was enough...
Hereditary's a little like, what the fuck at the end, where this is just... This is closure.
He stuck the landing more
so
with Midsommar.
He's two for two. Midsommar, the only critique I could really say is it can be seen as a little too long, but I think you're just stuck there. It's meant to be long. You're just stuck at this fucking place that you know you should leave. You're stuck there.
The one thing I would compare it to is almost The Leftovers. Did you ever see The Leftovers?
I watched some of it.
The
first season of The Leftovers, I couldn't stop watching it, but after every other episode, I'd be like, what the fuck am I watching? But it was just interesting enough that I said, but I kind of want to see where they're going. It wasn't like, this is bad. It was more like, this is kind of weird, but it's kind of interesting. And then season two of The Leftovers is one of the greatest seasons of TV ever. Season three, I thought, was a little let down, the final season. Season two of The Leftovers is just
superb. I gotta finish it.
And I felt like this guy has done enough with his movies where I'm like, if I'm being honest, it's not like I'm gonna go, his movies suck, man.
Yeah.
It's more like, one day I feel like he'll make a movie that I completely love. Is the best comp. Like, there's enough there that I go, but at the same time, I'm like, I get it. You dig misshapen, middle-aged people being full frontal nude.
I feel about that with other directors, though, like Lars von Trier. Like, I don't always love his work. Like, I liked...
The House that Jack Built.
Did you watch that?
I did.
Yeah. It wasn't as graphic
crazy.
As I thought it was going to be. But, like, that's a guy that I watch. Yeah, but I'm always like, or Gaspar Noel. Like, there's stuff that I like. But I'm not as a whole. It's like, this is interesting. You're taking big swings and whatever, but it's not like I like it as a whole.
So that was your number three?
That was my number three. Number two was a movie that was basically custom made for me, a movie that involves the NBA, it involves gambling,
the
city.
I'm surprised it's number two.
The Bird?
No, Uncut Gems.
Oh, Jesus.
That's not your number one?
No.
Holy shit.
You know what I'm talking about, the movie that was on Netflix.
Yeah.
Do your impression.
KJ, KJ, what's up? KJ, come on, KJ, what's up? What's up? Come on, let me. KJ, hold on, KJ, what's up? Like, over here, right here, KJ.
Great impression. That is. Well, you like Sandler, you do the Sandler impression. Right. That movie just like, that was a movie made for me. You, it has everything.
Love those guys. Fucking,
I love the Safdie brothers. I love the Good Time. I like what they're doing.
I like.
They did a documentary on Lenny Cook that was
fantastic. Was really
good. And the great thing about that was like they just got the footage. Someone did a doc on Lenny Cook when he was going to make the NBA, and then he didn't make it, so it got scrapped. And then like 15 years later, they're like, "Hey, we have this footage about this guy that was going to make the NBA." And then you have footage of him playing like LeBron and Melo in high school, and it's like super valuable to have that. But Uncut Gems was just that's just a fucking good time. It's just like those two get pacing and tension. Right, Good Time. And they say Good Time in the movie because the guy from Good Time made a cameo in it.
Which goes?
The dad from Good Time.
Who's the dad?
Remember he goes up to his apartment and he knocks on the door because he doesn't want his son?
The show Good Times.
The show from Good Times, yeah.
Good Times.
Yeah. Good Times.
Is the show. John Amos.
John Amos, Dynamite. Movie made for me. It was just that the brothers get tension right and pacing, and the whole time Sandler's fantastic in it. I knew, I told you, he was not going to get an Oscar nomination because they're not going to take this movie seriously. So I'm like, he's not going to get nominated. They might get like screenplay nod, but
I was disappointed.
Just look at the category too.
Disappointed in the movie or disappointed
that he didn't?
I was happy.
I'm obviously probably way higher on this movie than the both of you. I think you liked it.
Sometimes the problem with movies is sometimes you sit through them and you almost don't know what. Like, this was a movie where it was like, well, if I look back on it, I was like, I was definitely glued to the movie the whole time, which is partly what they're trying. It's just, I never was like, let me go to the bathroom or let me check my time, or I was just like, okay.
Yeah.
It was more like, yeah, very good. I don't think the hype of like, there was a little too much hype for me, but it was a good movie. But I think when I watched Good Time at home, like a couple of years ago, like I remember you were raving about Pete Davidson raved about it.
I think he was an investor or something in it. Oh. So it was a little disingenuous. No, I'm serious. Like the clip of him on like Conan.
Oh, it wasn't taking just like time, being a fanboy.
It seemed cool that he was a fanboy, but then when you peel back, you're like, oh, he's like a producer or something. Then it's like, you're just promoting your shit then. It's fucking crap.
It was. I actually think I kind of liked that one a little better.
Good Time's grimier. See, Uncut Gems is like kind of poppy and like glitzy, and they're on a high budget now. You have Sandler. Good Time is a real piece of shit movie, and I mean that in a nice way.
Right.
Like,
it's like
really
Good Time.
Grimy. Necro's in it, who's like a real piece of shit rapper, white rapper from Brooklyn. Gets really grimy, Queens and the city, whereas this is like you're in the Diamond District, and again, it's a way higher budget. But they have this interesting thing where they cast real people.
Yep.
Like Julia Fox is like a club kid, and like the bookies are like,
who's the Fergie chick? The chick that looks like I called her Baby Fergie.
Woman. Julia Fox.
Oh, that's
she's like a socialite club kid that they were friends with.
Wow, she's pretty good.
Yeah, she's gonna be huge. Good.
Yeah, she's very hot. I mean, she's hot. She's actually good in the movie.
And the tough guys are like tough guys.
Right.
They were like, you know,
except Eric Bogosian, who's like a playwright.
Gets points off for casting Fat Jew. That's almost unforgivable. That it's like, right? Come on, why is he?
How did you not know not to cast him?
I think
like, obviously everybody complaining about his memes didn't really work.
He was just one of the guys at like the Seder dinner that was
he had like a line or two.
Dolan is gonna fuck up, which I agree with, but it's because it's him. He's a fucking piece of shit. He's like, oh, Dolan's gonna. He always fucks up the Knicks. It was just like that. It was like probably didn't have a line. It was just like, hey, say something shitty about the Knicks.
What's funny is when Sandler walks into a restaurant at some point, you might remember this from having lived in the east side of the 50s. There was a restaurant, like an Italian restaurant on 47th and 2nd, like as the thing's going downhill, if you remember. I mean,
Yeah.
And I forget, it was open for a while, like Nino's or something.
Is this going to tie in Francesa?
No. Okay. He just walks into the restaurant.
Yeah.
And Sandler just very briefly goes, hey, Nina, blah, blah. And it was that guy who was like in their public access commercials and he was always outside the restaurant.
Air is free. Brett, do you remember that?
Yes.
He had a stupid fucking ad where he would go,
him.
Air is free, water is free, now bread is free. And he was advertising that they're giving free bread
away.
That's
what I'm saying. Yes. So they had multiple locations. They closed the one on 47th. But him. And I was like, hey,
that's what they love to do. Right. Just like the guy at the end, the Jeffrey Gurian guy, was like just a... You know, like a weird guy that they knew.
Inside baseball.
The Lev Parnas of comedy, Jeff Gurian.
I was shocked, not to take it off track, but I thought Lev Parnas spoke like a normal person, and I thought he was going to be like a bubbling, like, yeah, we got to get the money, but he spoke pretty normal. I was pretty shocked by that. But and also, I thought it was really good how they transitioned in like an actual NBA footage, which I'm like such a nerd with that stuff and doing docs. It's
you
like,
know they wanted Joel Embiid?
They wanted to originally do Amari. Amari wouldn't cut his hair, so then it turned to Joel Embiid because of the African connection, and then it didn't work because of the timing.
Right.
But I just thought that was so smart to put in footage, which they just... they used in a way that they couldn't alter it. Like, they couldn't alter the ending, and they had to use certain things. Like, it's like almost like used footage in a doc that they, of course, couldn't get the rights. The NBA is not going to give them the rights. But I thought that was really smart how they did that. You didn't have it. Did you have it in your top? You did not have it in your top five. And my number one...
we haven't gotten to his top five. No. Spoiler.
My number one...
You actually have a t-shirt.
I have a Parasite t-shirt.
Okay.
Number one, Parasite.
Sure.
I felt stronger about this than a lot of movies in the past that I maybe thought number one. I thought it was so well done. It's just on every level. Every level it works. It's a movie obviously about capitalism and like these two families that are essentially the same. They even have a similar last name. And the poor family is actually way more talented. Right. Like the mom in the rich family is fucking useless. Why do they even have a maid?
She's pretty.
She's very attractive.
So that's value.
But the point is, she's an attractive rich person. She has no value other than that because she could clean the house. She could do this. She's not doing anything all day. And this poor family can't catch a break because of the system. But they're actually really like conniving in
great
a good
scammers.
Way. They're really talented. They're really talented. But the dad can't catch a break. He had the pizza place and this and that or whatever it was. But so well done at every level. Like acting, direction. The writing, it's fantastic. And it's a movie, like you said, you didn't think would live up to the hype. And I think it does. Even as hyped up it is now, for a foreign movie to get this much respect, to be nominated for... I know what Roma got nominated last year, but it's
one,
not...
One director.
How often is it that a foreign picture gets nominated for Best Picture? I don't think it's that often. So, yeah, that was my number one. I don't think anything's even close to the way I felt about Parasite, just being very wowed. On just every level. I just walked out and was like, that was a masterpiece. I was like, it's a 10 on every level.
I think what I had said before we started recording was, and I like it more than American Beauty, but I don't, American Beauty is a Best Picture winner, so it's not an insult. But the tone for me felt like, for anybody who hasn't seen it, it felt like American Beauty where you're watching this very well-made dark comedy, and then the last like 15 to 20 minutes of the movie have this turn where it's just kind of dark and like the message comes out, and it's not like... It's not like, and now for a special message. It was more like building to the message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's you know what I mean? The thing.
You're like, oh, he just had like an epiphany about all this shit. Like you're it's...
Whereas Last Black Man, which I loved, it was number 9, got at the play. It was like, okay, this movie's about this. And also in the beginning, it's about gentrification. Like Parasite, it's clear it's about capitalism and the system, but it's not, they're not like pausing to be like, okay, look, there's a lot of like, all right, look, here's what this is about.
Now the humor's out. Now we've reached the point where we're not giving the message, we're just taking away the humor now. Mm-hmm. And now it's very, very serious.
It's fucking sad.
It was
sad. That ending, too. I mean, I don't know if you're spoiling it. It's been out for months, but it's just like, that ending is heartbreaking. You knew from the angles they were taking, like, he's never going to be able to afford that house. Never. But that's the idea of, like, that's the dream of, like, being with his dad again. And, like, it's just heartbreaking. It's really sad. And, it's a great movie.
Yeah, and I credit you, Jeff, to be the first person to really be a proponent of the film. Because I was going to try to see it with you, but you went out of town.
I actually saw it late because I was away. Yeah. I went to... I had to go to Columbia with my girlfriend for some family stuff. So I didn't see it till like... It was out for like 2 or 3 weeks. But I was on it because he's got a good track record.
Yeah.
He's done a few good films. And then I liked the trailer and the right people were
saying...
Did
you like Okja?
Yeah.
Well, I haven't
you
didn't seen
like
it. It?
What's funny is I didn't realize until I'd see, like they were filming it by where I was working at the time. Okay. But I didn't know what it was. I was just like... Why is it that big pink like pig or something, whatever it was?
The big
like,
pink pig.
Down by Wall Street. Yeah. And I was like, well, I think it was a Saturday and I was working on a matter. And then I was like, what the fuck is that? And because it was so memorable, I watched the movie like a year and a half later. I'm like, wait a second. Jake Gyllenhaal was right down there. That was what I thought Okja was like nice, but this was like.
Oh, it's not even close.
Yeah.
Yeah, Parasite was terrific. And. I saw that at my favorite
you had
theater.
Number three?
Jacob Burns.
Jacob Burns. Shout out to the Jacob Burns Redbox.
Yeah.
No. I combine them too. Your two favorite things.
Oh, okay.
The Wawa Redbox.
Oh, don't do that.
What's Wegmans, the, Wegmans.
Wegmans, right? Wegmans or sheets. Wegmans, yeah.
I meant.
I love Wawa.
Wawa's good.
But I know
good.
That Wegmans is what he references.
See, Wawa is like a nice, good indie movie, and Sheets is like a big comic book movie.
Oh, the Pennsylvania fight.
You're a Sheets guy? I'm a Wawa guy. And I'm not from Pennsylvania.
And I know,
or Jersey.
And I kind of maybe know why you're not a Sheets guy.
Why?
We'll talk off mic about
Ooh.
It.
Oh, I know what you're getting at. But, no, yeah, no, she was. No, she was Sheets.
Yeah, we, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
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 But you're cool about that shit. You're not
I guess
really
about Sheets?
I guess mainstream corner is left out of the indie loop.
So you had Parasite as three.
Yes, but as I said, my top four are all, Lots. If any of them win, Marriage Story being the one that I don't think has a shot.
Well, they say the three. Those are the three.
What, Irishman, 1917?
No, Irishman has no chance.
Oh, really?
I don't think it has a chance. I think the only three that have a chance are 1917, Parasite, and Once Upon a Time. But it's probably going to be 1917.
I think it's between 1917 and Parasite.
Parasite. I feel like Parasite could get it, but I don't think Once Upon a Time.
I don't think so either, but it's a movie about like movies. They do like Argo, yeah. And they do well, like Birdman-ish.
I loved both of the movies you just mentioned, though.
You liked Birdman?
Loved Birdman.
Are you surprised you liked Birdman?
Really?
It's right there. We did it's right talk there about on the top
Birdman's
row.
Fun.
Birdman I loved
was
it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I got to watch that again.
And it was like, now this is becoming the thing they do, but it had the single shot before other people were trying to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was just, I thought Ed Norton, if not for J.K. Simmons in Whiplash, which was just such a dominant performance,
yeah.
I thought Ed Norton more subtly.
Was he nominated?
Yeah.
Okay. That first scene where he comes in, he knows all the
letters. Was so good.
Yeah.
Except, but J.K., it was just like, J.K. Simmons went off for like 40 and 20 in Whiplash.
Yeah.
It was just it was just too much.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Whiplash?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I need to get that.
I love Whiplash.
I like his movies, too. I liked Whiplash, and I didn't expect to like La La Land, and I watched it on a plane, and I really liked it.
You know
I'm surprised
my number one movie was last year.
Oh, you liked the Astro movie.
First Man.
Of course you
I
did.
Didn't see that
First
yet,
White. So First I'll give my top.
No, it's actually Best White.
Fair enough.
I was like fucking, like the way you're talking about Parasite. Even though First Man was not like a different type of movie, I still felt like when I left First Man, I was just like, I felt like I was experiencing this shit. Anyway.
All right. So
what's your five? Yeah.
My five. At five, I got The Farewell. Lulu Wang, Golden Globe winner, Awkward
Thanks for being our top five, Chris.
Just really sweet. Really, we reviewed it on Indie Movie Corner.
Was that our last podcast?
I think so.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
It's really good. I dug it. Four, I got Loose, Tim Roth, Naomi Watts, and Kelvin Harrison Jr.
I thought it was based on a play. He liked it more than me. I don't know what my issue with it was.
This
really.
Is my Safdie brothers. Like,
yeah. Okay.
So it's like it was some almost like this. It's like a white liberal nightmare. It's like the white people's Get Out. So like you're super liberal. This super liberal family takes in this kid from Eritrea, and he is this like. Barack Obama style student that everybody loves. There might be some
darkness.
This
is the kid from Waves, right?
Waves, yeah. And it's sort of got that undertone of like, it kind of reminds me of like when Ed Norton first came on the scene with Primal Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of has that like that vibe to it. And I just really dug it. I also saw this at the Jacob Burns Film Center. And I think I was the only black person in there. I was watching it, and I was the only person that laughed.
Last black man and Jacob Burns.
Last black man and Jacob Burns, and I was in there laughing, having a good time.
What's interesting about that is, like, do you think they were trying to the parents? Which, by the way, when Tim Roth and Naomi Watts get together in movies, it never ends well.
That's true. Funny games.
Do you think they were doing the right thing? Did they do it for the right, like, taking this kid in? Were they doing it to, like, look like...
I think they were.
That's what I'm saying. Like they tried to do the right thing, but it was still like
motivated
almost
by like
unwinnable.
We're gonna
you know
look
like,
good
were
they, doing this.
Were they
because
they
thing?
Were like very like well-to-do like rich white people? Like were they doing it for the right reasons? But it's like I think the film is also it's beyond almost like a movie like We Need to Talk About Kevin, where it's like a nature nurture thing. Where
but
it's
a lot
like,
lighter.
Where it's like yeah
I like
sure
that movie.
Yeah,
that was a wild fucking movie.
It's good.
Who directed that?
I forget her name. She did, which you didn't love, which I love.
Another lady director?
It's a lady. I think Lynn Ramsey's her name. She's Australian, I think. She did
I've heard
You Were
her
Never
name
Really
before.
Here, which I love.
Oh, yes.
And you were like, and I That was my number one last year. Lynn Reds is her
respect,
name, right?
Out of respect, I yes. will watch your recommendations, but I often don't like them.
that was one that just came on one night, and I was like, what the fuck is this? About Kevin.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was kind of that thing where, like, Tilda Swinton, like, was kind of a shitty mom, but it also, like, her kid was, like, fucked. You know what I mean? Like, how much do you put? And that's kind of the thing of, but like, this the dad is kind of out there. So, yeah, this kid, is, it kind of reminded me of that in a way.
I could see that. Yeah. It's definitely... It's very interesting. I really dug it.
Because they were good with the kid, were they not?
They were good with him.
He still was like, he had a dark side.
There were still some holes.
Unavoidable.
They wanted him to be Obama, but they didn't know what did this kid want to be? What did he really want? The other kids.
It's not bad.
He's like, well, fuck you, man. You get all the good shit and I don't, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like some real moments that he had to grapple with. I think he's a terrific actor. And then so at number three, I have Waves.
I gotta see it.
Which
it's
also,
just on Amazon now.
Yes,
Amazon Prime.
It's not
you
on Prime.
Just
for rental.
Buy it. So I'm gonna wait another week, but I'm excited to see it.
I pre-ordered it. We'll talk.
I saw Waves.
Oh, you didn't like it?
I mean, this. Well, Chris, you said
Chris,
you're easy, and I'll
okay.
Prove him wrong.
This is so. JL brought up American Beauty, and when we were talking about Parasite, this is when I first started to get into. Like really becoming obsessive with movies, like really enjoying them and appreciate. I was about 19 years old, and around that time, we had within that a 3 to 5 year period, we had Happiness, Todd Solondz, we had The Ice Storm, Ang Lee, and we had American Beauty, which were like these films that were a triumvirate of films that were just like, this is the American family. And if you look beneath the veneer of like success, wealthy people, there's like this underbelly that's like fucked up. And I always appreciated those for some reason. All these different family dramas around in the late 90s, early 2000s. And I was like, I want them to do a black version of that. What's a black version? And I finally got it with Waves. So it's just that with this sort of had like the, you know, this, you got to achieve this thing. Basically, it's like in the aftermath of a tragic moment, a family has to recover. And it's like how they recover from it. I had some issues with it. I reviewed it with Tim Hall on the pod somewhere. I think that's fine. It's fine.
Bring her out.
No, don't bring her.
Bring out the gimp.
But then, but it was good. I really dug it, and I was surprised it didn't do that well because I thought more people that liked This Is Us would go see
it. It even made one sort of major top 10 list, like the National Board of Review, which is
okay.
Right. So that's a huge sort of honor for a movie that really made nothing.
Yeah,
and. It didn't make really any money. When I saw it, it was already like on its way out. And I was like, this shit just arrived at the theater.
I saw it the first week, yeah.
And what I thought about it, though, I found it the first hour especially very engrossing. But, and I do not mean this as an insult. I think I may have told you this already. But I like the show that I'm about to compare it to, so it's not meant as an insult. Okay. But it felt like a two-hour, like an hour episode. It felt like another episode of Euphoria on HBO.
I could see that.
And especially because then they cast, like, the girlfriend was literally the same actress from Euphoria.
But I think they might have done that around the same.
But, you know, all jokes aside, I called it CrossFit Fences. but it was... the first hour was definitely like engrossing and like kept my attention. In this kind of like Uncut Gems, just in terms of
right.
It never stops moving. It's never, but you're like, you feel tension building.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second hour, I hate to admit this, even though I sat there for the second hour, I remember like very little from the second hour because it was almost like this first hour is like watching. Like you're on the field for some like intense football game or hockey game, and then the next thing is like, and now we're going to take you to an hour of women's golf. And let's just so bad. Slow down. And
the views of J.O. Colvin did not reflect the views of
character study and
Ford.
Some deep emotional work, absolutely. But it's going to be much more lightly paced. And whereas the first hour is like, you ready to fucking do some drugs and maybe have some murder? Like, what's up? Like, so it's like, oh man, they're lifting weights and now they're at a fucking party. And it's like, he's at the doctor and is his shoulder going to be okay? Is his life out? What's going on?
Yeah.
And the second half's like, hey. You want to go out on a date?
Want to get a burger?
How are you?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to patch things up with some family members, but it's going to...
Oh, Cookie!
Sorry, everybody.
Laura! Okay. Yeah. Bring the steak over! Bring it over! That's my Raging Bull.
I thought you were doing Rose Byrne's husband, Bobby Cannavale. I thought you were doing that.
I just found
out
they were married.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing...
How do you feel about this?
He's one of my choices to play me in my movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right? They're like, doing Madea. He's half Colombian, half Italian, which is kind of like half Haitian, half Irish.
Can we get into
they're
the
doing
Tyler
Madea
Perry thing?
At, not yet. At BAM. They're doing,
at a bio?
No. the play. Him and Rose Byrne.
Yeah, I saw the ad for that.
But yeah, I was just disappointed that it didn't do well because people love This Is Us. Yeah. I was just disappointed that nobody
and
went
I
to
saw
see it.
One or two previews for it. It's so
still
it's not
art,
like
it's still art house.
It is, but it like
yeah. Why didn't it pop like a Moonlight or like something else?
Like I don't a know. Small like indie, blockbusters.
Because you can say
they
like
just made some
yeah,
money.
Like, yeah, Moonlight was a small movie, and that like really I really enjoyed that, and that popped. I'm excited to see this. I just like I missed it in the theaters and. I was waiting for it to come on.
I think
on,
you will actually like... I'm going to go out and say...
I think I will like
you will
it.
Like Waves.
And it's Kelvin Harrison again. Terrific. Then we get his performance by Taylor Russell, who I thought was fantastic. And this is...
I like the trashy girlfriend from Euphoria.
She was great, too.
I'm a big fan of hers.
And there's a difference that they had... You know, there's a difference between those two characters from what she plays. Yeah.
But she's
it's
like
subtle,
high society
but,
bad baby or whatever. Yeah. How about that? Like, mm-hmm. Basically, she's like a classier version of that Dr. Phil chick.
Yeah, because parents that actually loved her in that one. But then, like, I was just kind of like, damn, this, you know, I was rooting for it, but that's definitely one of my favorites. And Taylor Russell is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Black
this
girl, black
three?
Girl, man. This is my, that was my number three. Two, I have Parasite, and I struggled with this because.
Oh,
for
but all meddling.
Isn't
all
that
meddling
crazy?
Among
three,
us.
Two, yeah. One. Interesting.
Contact.
Because when I saw, so I, The Last Black Man in San Francisco was my number one.
Oh.
So when I saw that in June.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw The Farewell and I saw Last Black Man in San Francisco, double feature at Lincoln Center. AMC.
Oh, not Lincoln Plaza before it closed.
No.
Banana Bread and Coffee indie theater.
They always get every. It's a shitty theater, but they get everything.
They closed
the small one.
Yeah, on 62nd.
Yeah, that one. I would.
That's an AMC. That was an AMC.
No, it's
no,
in Indy.
I've seen a few things there, but yeah, I know it's gone now.
Well, so when I saw Last Bows, this is the best thing I ever seen. It's but then I saw Parasite, and I was like, ah. But then I went back and watched Last Black Man in San Francisco, and yes, it has the indie art house flourishes that I sometimes like. Were they flossing a little bit in that indie thing? Yes, they were. But it kind of reminded me of don't bite that. But they kind of it reminded me of the sweetness of a Be Kind Rewind.
Yeah,
and
that's fair.
So I saw like I was like, okay, I see what they're doing, and they had the play, and they had like. It just reminded me of Friendship and this black male intimacy that for heterosexual dudes that I was just like, oh, I haven't seen this a lot. I haven't seen this. So I just appreciated it. I that kind of took it over
and that's
from me.
Number you with your number one draft pick, you picked The Last Black Man in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's my number
what
one.
What was the friend's name?
Anthony
the friend
Bennett.
Was really sweet.
That's an Anthony Bennett going number one.
No. It's just.
So when you got Parasite there, Durant.
You got Giannis end of the Parasite
they
at
both
15.
Do well. I'm trying to think what was a one and two that went well that
a one
that,
and two that went
are,
well.
It seems like they never. It's weird.
Well,
it seems like
yeah,
they
sometimes
generally
it can
never
be a
really
huge drop off, but sometimes like well, then it's like the LeBron draft. It was like LeBron Darko. It was like
Blake Griffin, Hashim Thabeet.
There's like one, two. You're talking about one two was one two the last. Oh, okay, this year. Zion and Ja Morant.
Yes.
There you go.
That was the one thing watching the lottery. I'm like, all right, man, I swear if the Knicks just get... And I like Barrett. I think he has potential. He's come around. Yeah. He's got to get a shot better. But that was the thing that I was like, if they get one or two, we're going to be fine because Ja is going to be so special. And of course,
Ja really get one is or two. Not that this is really so Ja good. Is really good. And
so good.
He's the one guy I watched the Jazz play this year where he had like a move. And I was just like, oh, like I wasn't like, God damn it, guard him. I was just like, oh, yeah. That's a good move. Like I... And he did this move where he did a Euro step, but he jumped off the wrong foot because he had taken his two steps. And I was like, oh, he hasn't learned that traveling doesn't count in the NBA. He's still operating by the rules of basketball. And I was like, I respect that. That he like did, he's really good.
Do you guys have any honorable mentions before we talk about
Zion's
the
Zion's terrifying. Just as a,
oh my God.
If he stays healthy, I mean,
he's just
over.
Well, when people got on him
I didn't like how they fat shamed him.
Yeah.
I didn't like how
First
they fat shamed
yeah,
him
literally,
in that
my
game.
My friend used to refer to Mark Jackson as Fat Jackson. And I was like, this is so crazy. He's getting on
the
his way.
The tweets were so he's good, so though. Big.
He's so athletic,
if you're
though.
Like, if you're like, Zion Williamson, like, it's a duck, and then it's like, and then it's a clip of The Rock talking about The Big Show, like, you short-haired, fat, worthless piece of crap. Like, this is Mark Jackson talking about Zion Williamson.
It's crazy. He's so athletic and so big that he's going
to
be awesome. This
he,
isn't.
He just
this isn't
lose
20 years ago
for his own
for
like body, stability. Yeah. It's not that it's fat. He
yeah,
just,
he to stay maintained
to keep his legs
his
healthy.
Knees,
but it's
too.
Like the guy's got a 46-inch vertical and he's like he's built like a linebacker. It's like
he's never been
freak.
A better time for him. He can shoot and. It's not like it's 20 years ago where you're like, well, what position does he play? It doesn't fucking matter now. He's just going to, he can fucking play five. It doesn't matter.
Oh, he can be like a super duper Draymond Green if he wants to be.
Do you guys have some movies that we didn't mention? Like honorable mention?
Well,
do you want to run through
them? I was saying I like Joker more than a movie like The Dark Knight. I was saying that you almost threw up because I just thought it was more interesting. It was like more of a character.
I just swallowed it.
It was more of a character study. And I thought it was really interesting. Like, I really enjoyed it. I didn't expect to enjoy it, though, and I really did.
Oh, is that it?
I did want to talk about Todd Phillips. Like, I guess this leads into Oscar talk, because I really felt like I don't agree. I am as big a guy of, like, oh, can some of the bros stop bitching about PC? Like all of a sudden, every mediocre comic who likes to say cunt or a slur now thinks that it's... The culture is stopping them from being the songbird that they are.
It's like, hey, buddy, you're not funny.
Right. It's like, but you're mediocre.
Right.
Like, but it's become I've seen this, whenever a comic does combat, it's like, oh, I guess everybody here is too fucking it's like, or it's not that great comedy. Like, you can't just blame every time something doesn't go well in a show or if somebody gets offended that it's automatically... Our culture has gone too far. There's plenty of that, but it's like become this reflex of like, and with Todd Phillips saying, I can't do comedies anymore because they're now he has some things that have not aged well. His use of the F word is not really that great.
But we evolve and you know, but it's sort of like that movie was just King of Comedy Part 2. And I saw the movie. I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
Why all the controversy? Because I saw it, saw it like...
Are you talking about the incel stuff? That was so made up that this was going to inspire incels to kill people or women. How do you even get that from that? I don't even know how you get that.
What I'd also say is the same people that would say, what is causing us? What is causing all these young men to feel isolated and to shoot and to resort to violence? Then he makes kind of a movie that's saying, well, there's a lot of factors, but mental illness, loneliness, different things might contribute. And then it's like, so what? He's just making an excuse for all these
That's what happens.
But you were just been saying, we're trying to examine it. You don't have to think it's the greatest movie or that he did it perfectly, but it was a point of view.
A really good
it was
movie.
A message. It was some artistic choice. And then what really pissed me off, though, because for me, in the last 20 years, if I were to make up my top five comedies since 2000, Hangover and Old School probably both make my top five. And to see people going, Todd Phillips, who?
It became trendy to be like, I never liked Hangover.
His sophomoric comedies.
Oh,
this
my
is,
God,
and I was like, his, what? Old School, phenomenal. Hangover Trilogy, obviously the most successful comedy series ever in terms of money. And now we're going to act like
we always thought it was shit. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's so disingenuous. People do that.
It's annoying.
Just like, it's even when someone gets canceled, the worst. They'll be like, well, I never liked. And it's like, so-and-so
was never funny. It's the same bullshit.
When Louis C.K.
Yeah,
when
it came out. I never liked him. And it's like, no, JL was the only one.
JL was the guy everybody thought was a dick for hating Louis. Yeah. Then.
And we talked about it the last podcast about the Newtown jokes. It's like if those jokes were when we love Louis, he'd be like, he's so brave to go against
SNL set.
He's so brave to go against Parkland, but now because we don't like him, it's like, this is disgusting.
You don't make jokes about that.
Yeah.
You don't make in other words, Louis had the joke that I thought was very funny when it was told to me, when they were like, his joke about when he masturbated. Like, you can tell how big a jerk you are, how quickly you masturbated after 9/11. When did you masturbate? In between the towers falling. Now people go, that's an amazing joke. But if you then bring that joke to somebody on September 11th, 2003, whose family member died in the towers, and go, did you hear Louis C.K.'s joke about 9/11? And what did you think about it? And then now this, or some progressive website films like an interview. You know what I'm talking about? Like, where it's like, hey, you know what? I didn't masturbate on 9/11 because my son died.
Well,
is that what we're doing
do
in
that,
comedy?
Yeah.
Like, and you know me, I'm not Mr. Oh, it's always PC. But at some point, you also have to be like, yeah, we don't usually take jokes and then go to like people who were actually involved in the incident and say, what did you think about? And if they are understandably not humored, go, we'll see. And that's why we shouldn't tell those jokes.
And they did do that.
With Parkland. No, I know what now this. Did like an interview, like a stand-up interview, like, hey, Louis, the joke wasn't funny because my son did. I'm not blaming that guy.
Yeah. Right.
Of course he's not going to find anything funny about that. He shouldn't. That doesn't mean I can't laugh from a distance.
What if he did, JL?
It was weird because that was the time I was really actually when I heard the clips of Louis. I was like,
it was funny.
To be fair, guys.
I listened
this
to
actually
the,
is, maybe I'm coming around. This is
countercultural.
I listened to the whole set and he had some good stuff.
And with Todd Phillips, with Joker, it was just like, I thought it was one of those things where I'm like, I can find myself on the progressive side of a lot of stuff, and I can also find myself on the defending comedy side. Get out of here with all the Todd Phillips hate. And it's like, oh, he can't do comedy anymore. You can even disagree with his take.
Yeah.
But then it becomes like, fuck him. And with the best director nominees, 5 men again.
Yeah.
So Todd Phillips gets nominated and then rattle off like 8 women. But by the time you get to like Olivia Wilde, I'm like, well, I know she's a woman who did a movie this year.
And you just talk about Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, it's Greta Gerwig was the only one. Well, also the Farewell, she could have got it.
Lulu Wang.
Well,
you don't talk about Mario Heller.
Tarantino's getting in if he makes a film.
No, like Scorsese, I said, there were three Oscar winners.
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood just came and
Sam Mendes is getting in because of 1917. So that's 3 slots that are taken.
But those are also 3 guys who I think have all
one guy's won
Oscars
before.
Somewhere for
American
writing.
Beauty.
He won writing Oscars and then Scorsese.
Glorious Bastard, did he not win for a screenplay?
I think he may have won 2 screenplays, but he did not win.
He never won
director.
So but those three
so
are
guys,
but nobody critiques them.
And then
them.
You have the outsider, Parasite. That's not a white guy,
which is
that's
not
a
only is
movie.
Great, but he's also not
it's
a legitimately
white
great.
Guy. So Joker's probably the only one you can like take off, and you could put Greta Gerwig. But it's like I don't, you know.
But when you give me a list of 8 women, I'm like, did you see all 8 of them? Because I don't know. Like, I liked the Tom Hanks honorable mention. I guess I did actually enjoy. I found it very soothing.
The Tom Hanks movie.
Yeah. I just found it very like
about the reporter.
Yeah, I was like, sometimes it's nice to see like a movie that just like you relax.
The
for
doc
2 hours.
Was great.
Yeah.
Didn't you just see the? I
the
saw doc the doc
came out
and I wasn't
year
like,
before.
I don't need to see the.
No, it's a little different.
It's different.
So but I liked it, and that was directed by a woman, and there were directorial
who directed
choices
me and
can with
you ever
that movie
me?
That I thought were like, oh, I can see why somebody be. Hailing this as like, hey, this woman did a good job as a director.
Shout out to Mario Heller. Come on the show.
Was that
she directed Can You Ever Forgive Me?
Did she also direct
Chris was in that.
The Tom Hanks?
She did. That's the Tom Hanks movie.
And that's fair.
So third she hasn't missed.
That
yet.
Was good. Can You Ever Forgive Me? That was a good movie.
It was.
She hasn't missed.
But that's where I'd say, hey, you know, but then it's like once you get to not only Olivia Wilde, but then you get like then I'm looking, oh, this is just a woman directed this movie.
Yeah.
That's not good enough to just be like, you're picking Todd Phillips when Samantha Bee directed an episode of Samantha Bee on TBS.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think the big
gripe
was
more.
Greta Gerwig. That
give
was
me
one,
some
she
more,
got the nom for best screenplay. Yeah. So,
because we got to wrap this up.
Oh, sorry. All right.
What stuff did I like this year?
Give me some honorable mentions.
I like this show Years and Years.
I'm talking about movies.
Oh,
was Years and Years the British one?
Yeah,
people gave that good reviews.
Yeah, it's pretty out there. Chernobyl, it's like a soft Black Mirror-ish in a way. Okay. It's like kind of technology, and it kind of goes through like
back to movies.
20 years.
Chernobyl is my favorite TV show this year. Amazing.
Yeah. I'm gonna just rattle off some, and we'll get to Oscars. I got The Art of Self Defense. Funny. That was good. Clemency, my girl Alfre Woodard, really good performance. The movie was okay. It's good to see a black woman kind of do like a character thing, like a troubled warden.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Saw it at JL's old theater, Kips Bay.
Oh.
They remodeled.
Oh.
Double the
mice now?
I didn't see any. A Fast Color.
Was that about black sprinters?
No, Gugu Mbatha Raw plays a woman
you
with
love
super.
Her.
I'm in
she's
love
great.
With her. I fucking love her, dude.
How great is she?
I think you like saying that name the Gugu. Way Stephen A. Smith likes saying Tabo Cephalosha.
Tabo Cephalosha.
You're talking about a perimeter defender like Tabo Cephalosha.
I like saying every.
Rasho Nesterovich.
Everything about After the Wedding, Michelle Williams and.
Damn, I don't know any of this shit.
Fucking.
Deep cuts. I didn't see that, but that's supposed to be good.
It's
the
good. It's just very solid. Like an art house stepmom. Julianne Moore's in it with. We already mentioned Little Women, did we? Or no? Little Women was good. 1917. We talked about Honey Boy.
Did you see 1917?
I did.
Okay.
Honey Boy, Peanut Butter Falcon. Yeah.
Shia LaBeouf corner.
Oh, I had to. Shout out Shia, man.
He loves
one of the
Shia.
Greatest.
Great in Transformers 1. The only Transformers worth seeing, but I still stand by that as an excellent action adventure movie.
Well, that's what I got. Let's do the major.
I'll say two off the top of my head. Two documentaries I enjoyed. One was One Child Nation. One Child Nation.
I was shocked that didn't get nominated.
I was shocked that didn't get nominated either.
It's brutal.
It's really good. It really gets into the one child policy in China and like the effects of it. It's completely brutal what they did. Because on the surface you could just say, oh, you can only have one kid, but it really gets into someone who was from there and had like a stake in it, and just like it wasn't just someone doing a story on it. It was someone obviously who had like a personal kind of like that was affected by it. It was really good. So you saw
it. What was that movie about, like, where they interviewed the dudes from like the Philippines or something?
The Art of Killing.
It reminded me of that because they were interviewing some people who worked for
it was a little
had to take them and
Especially that one guy who was because they would do these awful things to these women. They would like sometimes force them to.
It was literally
like,
the flip side of pro-choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what if you can't choose to have a child?
Yeah, and this guy was just kind of it was the line of like people that kind of had to just do it because you're like working for the government, like almost like Nazi stuff in a way, like you're just like what are you supposed to do? It's like, that time it's
you
like,
might be in jail or
yeah
dead
you might be in jail
if you
didn't
your
do
government's
it.
Work
and this other doc I really enjoyed a lot was this doc called Hail Satan that was really enjoyable. I think you would like it too because
that's on Hulu, isn't it?
I think it's on Amazon, but it was just like it's about these the satanic cult, but they're really just like liberals who like
they're trying to fuck with it, get religious protections, right?
Yeah, yeah. They'll go to some place where they have like the Ten Commandments outside a church,
right?
Not outside a church, excuse me, outside like a courthouse, and they'll kind of prove the point that it's like, well, that shouldn't be there, it shouldn't be one way or another. So it was interesting, it was really like fun. It's kind of a fun doc, too.
And there is that rare, just not to get into our religious issues, but it there is a rare strain like myself who's like. No, separate, even though it's usually atheists or people who don't like religion pushing for it, it really should be both sides pushing for it because you shouldn't want, you don't want a preference because A, what if that preference changes one day?
Yeah.
But also,
well, they don't see it that
it's
way.
Supposed
They're seeing
to
it as
be
a
separate.
Catholic nation. It's a Catholic
or Christian,
nation.
It's usually more
yeah,
the
sure.
Christian
nation.
Catholics are like me, that they're happy to just live their private life. Well, not, no, I shouldn't say that. There are plenty of very outspoken, loud, annoying ones.
I was raised Lutheran. Do you know that?
I didn't know.
I went to a Lutheran church. I was confirmed and like, yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, why did my mom pick it? Because her friend went there. Why you should pick any religion? Her mom. And my mom is still a Sunday school teacher at the same church. But it's
not
very,
all the Cerulis are lost.
No, just 3 out of 4 are atheists.
But it is, it's
an interesting doc. I think you would like it because they're just a bunch of smart ass liberals who are like, look, this really should be separate. That's all it is.
And it should be.
Some of them believe in the Satan stuff, but most of them don't.
Okay. On to Oscars.
Is this like four hours?
Rapid fire.
Show?
Rapid fire Oscars.
All right. So
skip
we're in
the actress categories. We'll go right.
No, we're not going to do this. This is my show. My show. You do that. You can. Okay. Performance by an actor in a leading role. Nominees: Antonio Banderas, Pain and Glory. Leo, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Adam Driver, Marriage Story, Joaquin Phoenix, Joker, Jonathan Pryce, The Two Popes. Who do you got? Who do you think? Who are you rooting for? Who's going to win?
Oh, I mean, Banderas is a lock, right?
No.
Was that a joke?
Isn't he going to win?
Joaquin Phoenix is a lock.
Oh, I forgot Phoenix. Yeah.
He was good. Pain and Glory
Phoenix
was
is,
good.
He's
going to
win, yeah.
He's
That's
not
the only one
win.
I haven't seen.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. And then Driver could win, but Phoenix is going to win. It's Unless they don't want to do double Joker.
I got to tell JL that when I went to see Pain and Glory, I did have a spiked cider.
Why you got to tell me
that? In an art house theater.
Okay.
I didn't see it yet. I like Emma
Landmark. Oh, no, okay. You're talking about muffins and shit.
Oh, okay,
never
got
mind.
You.
Whatever.
I understand.
Never mind.
I think I just feel like some of these categories, Best Picture is going to be, I think, the most interesting category. Because even though there's not a ton of films that can win, at least it's not like I don't know what's going to win.
Who's your actor choice,
It's
though?
Joaquin Phoenix. I just don't think... Because he is a great actor, and it's like his time.
It's his time.
And the movie got 11 nominations, which means that a lot of people sort of saw it as a big movie.
Sure.
Even better is last year he was in...
You Were Never Really Here.
It's a similar vibe in a sense of like this fucked up character.
Vigilante guy.
You're diving into like the psyche behind him, and he's just
as
good.
I think that was a couple years
ago.
No,
it was last year. It was my number one last year. You Were Never Really
Here. Yeah, I watched
it. It was so good.
Yeah.
But yet that's...
It was just last...
2018.
Oh, okay.
But yet he wasn't a lock for any... I don't even know if he was nominated, but he wasn't a lock, certainly. I don't know who won, but it was like that. Just as good, even better, and it's just as good a performance.
You think he's got it. Best Supporting Actor, Tom Hanks, Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes, Al Pacino, The Irishman, Joe Pesci, The Irishman, Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
It'd be cool if it was just all Irishmen. It was like, what, that guy had one line. Brad Pitt's going to win that.
Yeah, who was the second name?
Anthony Hopkins, Two Popes.
Your movie.
I love The Two Popes. I wish it wasn't a lock, because I think that's a good category. There's a lot of good stuff in that category, but it's just...
He won the SAG, usually.
He's
that's
winning
a precursor.
Everything. It's just like people are like, we love Brad Pitt. We never gave Robert Redford an Oscar, so we'd like to give this new generation's handsome blonde man an Oscar.
And it's kind of his time, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Performance by an actress in a leading role, Cynthia Erivo, Harriet, Scarlett Johansson, Marriage Story, Saoirse Ronan, Little Women, Charlize Theron, Bombshell, Renee Zellweger, Judy.
I mean, she's a lock, right?
You're saying
that
Renee
was such fucking Oscar bait, that movie. I would never see it. It looks like shit. But that was such that movie was made for her to win an Oscar.
I started watching it before I came over.
Is it good?
She's good.
I'm sure a lot of people have been saying though that she's good in the movies.
Of course,
like, fine.
Of course,
but Renee Zellweger though, interesting. She's going to be like the Eli Manning of acting because if she wins. She'll have two acting Oscars, and people will be like, the squinty bitch?
It'd be great if Scarlett won both.
Cold Mountain she won right?
Yeah.
How good would that be if she won
people
both?
People, black Twitter would be upset. Asian Twitter.
But I'm going to... Scarlett Johansson was... Jojo Rabbit, I think they were just kind of feeling Rabbit.
Why did she get nominated for Jojo Rabbit?
I think
she wasn't anyone better to nominate.
She was good
done,
in
like,
it.
Aquafina or like anyone?
Aquafina would be best actress.
Why'd she get nominated?
Aquafina was the lead though.
Lupita Nyong'o.
She should have got.
For me, I saw Bombshell.
It was
fine. I really didn't have any sympathy.
Neither did I.
And people were like, I remember seeing a tweet that was like, "Are you not to me, but to someone else? I hope you're not suggesting that just because they were like working for Fox, they deserve to be harassed." And in my head, you might want to put a disclaimer on this one.
Okay,
or not.
The views of J.L. Covan did not reflect.
I
got to see what you're saying for us.
That they were leaders of a propaganda network that has done incredible damage to America and democracy and politics. If it's just harassment, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I that's a good point. I know you're saying it. You're working at such a hateful network.
Yeah, I'm not like
you can fucking leave there. You're advancing
your
career.
He made you twirl.
You're advancing.
And wear skirts.
You're there to advance your career.
Yeah, you're already making tremendous moral compromises by working there. So like, this is not me advocating.
No, of course
any of the
not. I'm on your side here.
You might have done.
Yeah.
But if you were made to feel uncomfortable by Roger Ailes, like he just asked you to twirl and stuff, normally I'd be like, gross. But I'm like,
You work in a
the
horrific,
whole thing is gross.
It's the whole operation
you see
is gross.
Tucker Carlson, the whole network
you're
gross.
You're okay with these 85% of their gross platform.
Yeah.
Once again, not advocating.
That's
any
a very
kind
Republican.
Of
you only care when it happens to you.
Yes.
You don't care about gay people, but if you have a gay kid, you're like,
right. Dick
rights.
Cheney all of a sudden has an evolution because his daughter. Even though, to be fair, Dick Cheney's other daughter didn't really have an evolution.
She's
hardcore.
Okay.
But I would have replaced Charlize Theron. I think she's a very good actress.
Very great.
She's a very beautiful woman.
Should have won for Young
Doesn't
Adult.
Doesn't get better looking.
I would have taken her out and put Lupita in, and then I would have given it to Lupita.
I would have done Florence Pugh Midsommar.
Of course you would have.
So you would have given her the Scarlett Johansson treatment. Given her the double
by an actress in a supporting role. Kathy Bates, Richard Jewell, Laura Dern, Marriage Story, ScarJo, Jojo Rabbit, Florence Pugh, Little Women, Margot Robbie, Bombshell.
You know what I'd like to bet in this category? No joke. I'd like to bet. I want to know the odds on Florence Pugh, who's had this great year, and is Saoirse Ronan's not going to win. But if there are enough Little Women fans, I would put money on her if she's like a big enough underdog. If she's like a 10-1, I'd put $100 on.
Like
Florence
how Olivia
Pugh.
Coleman won for The Favorite, because there were a few of them weren't they all kind of nominated?
Yeah.
No, but the other two were for supporting.
For support.
Okay. Which was weird because I was like, wasn't Olivia Colman in the movie the least of the three of them?
But like, Laura Dern's going to win, right?
But I just feel like if Little Women maybe plays their cards right,
sure.
It kind of goes like, we want some awards.
They turn into Big Women.
You go Gerwig and Pugh, because Pugh's had this great year.
Yeah.
She's like this new star. She did a lot of varied work.
And then they'll be like, well, she can get something else.
I would place a wager on her, but Laura Dern is the overwhelming favorite.
Okay. Best animated feature film, How to Train Your Dragon, The Hidden World, I Lost My Body, Klaus, Missing Link, Toy Story 4.
I would have Toy Story 4 in the best picture category, obviously. But I do want to see Missing Link because I remember seeing previews for it and going, that looks kind of like dry humor. That looks like it might be kind of funny. And
that's Hugh Jackman, right?
Hugh Jackman. I think Galifianakis is the voice of like the Bigfoot.
Okay.
And I remember, so I want to see that. It did win the Golden Globe, but that might have just been because they were like, Hugh Jackman's foreign. they do tend to kind of like their own a little bit with those awards because it is the foreign press. But I think if Toy Story 4 doesn't win, I just think it'd be fucking horrible. It's so good.
Sure. Cinematography, The Irishman, Joker, The Lighthouse, 1917. Yeah, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
No chance anything but... I mean, 1917 is like a let-me-pull-my-cinematography-dick-out movie.
Yeah.
It's a little showy, but it's also still works and is really
like a
challenging
game.
And good.
Achievement in directing, The Irishman, Joker, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Oh, fuck.
Excuse me.
Martin Scorsese, The Irishman. Todd Phillips, Joker, Sam Mendes, 1917, Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Bong Joon-ho, Parasite.
I could see Bong winning that and then Best Picture going 1917 because sometimes they split it.
They split it, yeah.
But I'm going to tell you right now, if they split it, they're doing it the other way.
You think so?
Parasite wins Best Picture. 1917 is too much, and I get critics who are like, we get like... You're using almost like a trick to be like, look how good a director I am. But I think 1917 for director is almost a lock.
Okay.
But if they want to split it, if they don't want to anoint 1917 as like the overwhelming, it's cinematography, director, picture, if they don't want to like crown it as like the dominant movie, Parasite, the split in my opinion would be Parasite picture, 1917 director, but not the flip.
So Yellow Moonlight?
Whoa! Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You think what are the odds?
Sunlight. We're calling it sunlight.
That's true. Yellow sunlight. There you go.
But no, just sunlight.
What are the odds that you
yellow. Sunlight?
You think 1917 is a heavy favorite?
All Asians look yellow in the sunlight. That's
oh
a line
God.
In the movie. That's
the
just music. Flipping it from Moonlight when he says all black boys look blue in the moonlight. Okay, listeners.
Not reflect the views of Chris Lambert on the Mundane Festival podcast.
I thought it was funny when I said the father in Parasite should have been nominated, at least as an honor for his work in Gangnam Style.
Wait, that wasn't Psy?
Yes.
Yes, I thought it was.
Shit.
He's all like.
Gangnam
when he
Parasite.
Came out of the basement,
whoop,
he was like,
whoop, whoop, whoop.
But I'm only saying it because he doesn't look just like him. But I was like, they could be cousins.
Look, if this is your number one movie,
at J.O. Covan on Twitter.
At Gangnam Palace site, just if you want to do a title for the episode.
At J.L. Covan.
Hey, best picture. Whoa. Gangnam Palace. Okay, I'm done.
All right, best documentary feature nominees: American Factory, The Cave, The Edge of Democracy, For Sama, Honeyland.
Honeyland is weird because I read today it's not. It might be a dark horse because it's nominated for best foreign language film or whatever they're calling it now. It's nominated for document. It's the first movie to ever be nominated for documentary and best foreign language, which is a weird double because they're kind of saying we don't just think it's a great documentary.
Well, it's like Parasite has to win best foreign if you're nominated for best picture. So didn't Toy Story 3 get nominated one year?
For best picture.
So it's obviously going to win best animated. Right. Like, it's just, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Right. So, except I haven't seen it.
American Workers is supposed to be excellent.
It's too. I saw
it. A little boring?
It's a little boring. Yeah. I said I prefer Gung Ho with Michael Keaton.
Gung Ho.
But here's why I think American Factory might win, even though that double foreign, to see a documentary also nominated for best foreign film is a pretty big honor.
No, I would pick that then if I was Benny.
Just knowing that.
Yeah.
But American Factory does give us the opportunity, the Academy, the opportunity to give the Obamas an Oscar.
Oh.
And if, their I don't producers? Think they'll show up. Yeah. It's their company that they're, it's their big
like
deal.
Kind of like when they gave it to Kobe, the best animated.
Minus the rape.
Yeah.
Actually, Black Mamba.
Didn't you say, it sounds like you said minus the rape like Obama.
Well, we don't know. Did if you Obama's do that?
I'm saying
no. The way you said it, you were doing an Obama impression.
Rapeless Mamba is what they call me. But American Factory. I mean, even if it's just a taped message, just to get Trump angry. And I'm not even kidding. It's nominated. People gave it great reviews, so it's not like it's a token gesture of like we like the Obamas. Everybody's giving it great reviews. But if you could, you would piss Trump off so much if Barack Obama and Michelle Obama are like sending a taped message accepting an Oscar. Trump never even won an Emmy and now Obama has an Oscar. It's if I didn't think Edge of Democracy was one of the best movies period of the year, I would just want to see that happen. But there's reasons for three. Edge of Democracy is amazing, all the reasons to give American Factory the award, and then this like dark horse with Honeyland being like this double nominee. The other two have no chance, though.
So I haven't seen. We can do international film. I've only seen two of them. So Corpus.
Whoa.
Maybe we should skip that one. Best international feature film of the year: Corpus Christi, Honeyland, Les Mis, Pain and Glory, and Parasite.
Yeah, it's locked.
Did you see that Polish film last year that was nominated for director and foreign film? It didn't win either because it lost to Roma for both.
What was it? What was the Polish movie?
Can you look up? Because it was weird. It was like he was nominated for best director, which is, but he lost to Cuarón for both, which is kind of tough because in any other year, you're like, holy shit, foreign film, I'm going to win because I'm also nominated for best director.
Are you looking it up?
Yes, sir.
The woman in that movie was so like beautiful.
Which movie was it called?
I forget the title. Cold War.
Oh, Cold War.
Cold War.
Oh, Cold War.
I thought
War.
That was a narrative story.
It's a narrative.
It was. No, I'm saying it was nominated for director and foreign film, but it was the same year that you had Roma also nominated for both those and Best Picture. So it was like
he got
the rare double nomination.
Yeah, Cold War. Let's see his name.
Pavel Padetsky or whatever.
Yeah, Pavel Polakowski.
Oh, there you go.
And then the girl was Joanna Kolg. Kolig.
Yeah, she was smoking.
You liked her?
Yeah, I did. That was a movie I watched because I felt like obligated to, and I was like, it was okay.
Was your obligation?
Because I was like, it must be good because it didn't just get foreign film. It was one of the five directors.
We think Parasite.
Which is like a very rare, rare thing.
Yeah, Parasite's a lock. It's nominated Best Picture. It's like, that's like the biggest no-brainer. Well, how could it not win?
Where is writing?
Hey!
Music. Who the fuck is...
So the whole time you were watching Parasite, you were like, is this Psy?
I wasn't, but I was like, but I think it's close enough that the joke will work.
Who's going to get... Okay, but adapted screenplay nominees, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, the two.
Little Pope. Women. They're going to give it to Greta Gerwig.
They have to give it to Little Women, but I don't even think she necessarily should get it. But it's fine.
Okay, because you
give it to Irishman was such a huge work.
Heads will explode if
Todd. See, I think Phillips Irishman is more with like the direction and like the effects. Are you talking about like writing?
I just feel like writing
Little
like
Women's been done before. I don't know.
But writing like a 200-page screenplay.
I'd actually give it to Jojo Rabbit. It's adapted off a book, though, actually, or a comic book. I don't know. Adapted is like someone else's work anyway. You're just taking and changing it.
Couldn't they do Joker?
Yeah.
Honestly.
Couldn't they do Joker?
They could, but I mean.
But that would mean, if what we crazy, I mean, just the heads, you talking about heads exploding. Yeah, if Greta Gerwig loses to Joker.
Todd Phillips, Mr. Hangover.
Sorry, I guess Little Women didn't have enough F words in it. But if you think about it, it's almost really not even adapted. He just was like, I took Joker and then did my own thing.
That's what I was going to say. It's a little more creative because he's kind of creating his own thing based on like the
just
Joker.
Just a character.
Universe. It's the character. Whereas, like, I don't know how deep the Jojo Rabbit fucking comic or book that it comes from, or like Little Women's been done a few times. So it's like. I don't know. Yeah, you're right. I'm thinking it might be Joker.
And then but imagine this, because it did get 11 nominations, so there was like sort of broad support. Like four. But imagine how the gambling odds if they were moving like they do in sports. If all of a sudden you get to like the last hour of the Oscars, and you know Joaquin's going to win
best actor,
but Joker's already won like best score, which I think it's like the front runner for that. And then like screenplay in a surprise, then people will be like. Is Joker going to win Best Picture? Because now it's won score, acting, and writing, and it's still up for the big one.
Yeah.
It would just be interesting to see people sort of panicking, like, is fucking Joker going to win? Like, I kind of like Trump.
Wait, shit, Virginia's Joker just won Pennsylvania.
Save that. Put that in your drafts with the hashtags right now. And if it wins screenplay, if I don't see it within 30 seconds, I'm doing it.
Joker just won Pennsylvania.
That's fucking hilarious.
I'm not kidding. No. Yeah. I'm saying, if you don't do it, I will do it. I will give you a 30-second buffer.
Joker just won Wisconsin. You can do that one. I'll do Pennsylvania.
No. Yeah.
Joker won Florida, obviously. He won Florida.
No, but Pennsylvania is the perfect choice.
That's kind of when people were like, oh, shit.
Let's do original screenplay and then best picture.
We promise to put that in your drafts?
Yeah.
And if it wins, you'll get a retweet and a fave.
Original screenplay nominees, Knives Out, Rian Johnson, Marriage Story, Noah Baumbach, 1917, Sam Mendes, Christy Wilson-Carnes, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Quentin Tarantino, Parasite, Bong Joon-ho,
Han Jing-Wong.
This is a really tough category. I could see it going a few. I don't think 1917 because I think that's all the visuals. Knives Out, I could see them because that's kind of like give him something.
Well, here's what they like, and I remember when King's Speech beat Inception for best original screenplay, and all I kept screaming at the TV. I'm like, screenplay's not just dialogue; it's also the story.
Sure.
And Inception versus King's Speech had the witty banter.
Yeah.
And they fucking jerk off for that. Inception was an entire concept that he wrote. So here, Marriage Story, very dialogue heavy, but Quentin Tarantino, very dialogue heavy. So
I see Tarantino winning it.
It's going to be one of those two, I think, because they always favor dialogue over story.
Yeah.
Because to me, Inception, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, you think you could have come up with this? This is an incredible story he wrote.
I can't wait for Tenet. I think that's my most highly anticipated.
I hope it's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll end on this. Best Motion Picture of the Year nominees, Ford versus Ferrari, The Irishman, Jojo Rabbit, Joker, Little Women, Marriage Story, 1917, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and Parasite.
So we talked about it before. You got three front runners. 1917.
Parasite.
Once Upon a Time in Parasite. Those are three front runners. I don't think Little Women has a chance. I don't think Joker has a chance.
I think there's only two front runners. Okay. I genuinely think it's going to be Parasite or 1917.
I agree.
And nothing else. But hold, and I need you to put that tweet out. I need to emphasize this. If Joker, because we already kind of know it's going to win Best Actor, that would be stunning if it doesn't. So assuming you already know that's coming, but that's very late in the show.
Mm-hmm.
If it pulls off the huge screenplay upset, I think it immediately goes in. It becomes the third. Then it has a shot. Because now they're saying, like, Well, the acting was good. The writing was good. It got the most nominations.
I'm going to watch it again.
So then it's I think you have to consider. So if there's any way to bet that last hour, like, oh, the odds have shifted. If Joker is going into the final Oscar with two substantial awards, not just one, but it's going in there with a writing and an acting, I think it has a chance.
You know what's very unique about Joker? Joker can be seen as like a very like bro-y movie. Like it'd be like if Fight Club was nominated for like 11 awards. Like Fight Club was like, critically, it didn't do well at first, but like it became like a huge bro movie. Joker is like kind of a bro movie, and it's like kind of poppy, like people go to the stairs in the Bronx. But yet, it has all these awards. It led nominations for the Oscars, which is like usually movies like that that are that popular with like people like that.
That was my favorite thing. Where it was like,
they don't get it.
It won a bunch of festivals.
They don't get the critical success.
But the critics usually get both. The Twitter critics, mm-hmm. when it got all the nominations, it was like, well, it did like win all these awards at prestigious film festivals. Yes. Like not just like, it was like Venice and Toronto, like these film festivals that generally are good harbingers of stuff.
Yeah.
And then it made $1 billion. So it seems like everybody across the board kind of thought it was a valuable film, and I think it had good momentum from those foreign film critics who were like, I'm going to do like a bad French. We think this is a great story telling us about why Trump is so popular in America.
That's pretty good.
But it felt like that. I think the foreign critics were like, maybe more than American critics,
sure.
were like, we are so concerned in the world about Trump, and this is kind of giving us this view.
Yeah.
I think that's why, because it really caught on with foreign critics first, which gave it that, whoa, it won Best Picture at Venice? Like,
yeah,
and then the momentum continued in it, but it was popular enough and had the comic book tie-in to become a huge success. I'm just saying, I'm going to say it right here. If there's a way for me to gamble, since I live in New Jersey, it's legal. If I can find
a
way.
You can gamble.
Yeah. On this? If there is a place where I can find a legal site that has like shifting odds, I'm going to have like a bet teed up when the odds are best, where if Joker, they're like best adapted screenplay. Oh, shit. Todd Phillips, bet.
Hey, Joaquin. Hey, Joaquin.
Wait, who's that? Oh, is that Adam Sandler?
I'm just trying to
Joaquin. I'm sorry. You get a good job. I'm glad you won the... I got to do more Netflix. KG. All
right. Well, guys, this has been awesome. This has been a delight. Can you, JL, plug some stuff?
Oh, just two podcasts, folks. I have no comedy career anymore, so I'm just now a podcaster / living like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, but in Bloomfield, New Jersey. Righteous Prick Podcast is back after a like 15-month layoff. Just look for it under Righteous PK.
Cookie, what are you
on
doing?
iTunes? Cookie is trying to come on to Chris, and then she's going to claim to the police that she's just a nice white dog that
Roger
was assaulted
Ailes.
By a black man. Righteous Prick Podcast, available on iTunes, Spotify, and Podomatic. Just look up Righteous PK. And then, of course, my Trump podcast, which is doing very well, Making Podcasts Great Again, available basically everywhere you get podcasts.
And Jeff, what about you,
man? JL Comedy is my website.
JL Comedy.
I'm at Jeff Cerulli on Twitter. You look out for my tweet on Oscar night about Joker winning Pennsylvania.
You must! It will blow up, I swear.
And, yeah. And, yeah, that's, you know, I have a show every Thursday in the city you come to. It's at the Gaff West. It's called The Bomb Shelter.
It's a good
show. Every Thursday, every other Saturday. And yeah, check me out there.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.